Hey, let's start the show.
It's September 6, 2012. Welcome to This Is Only a Test, the official podcast of Tested.com. I'm Will Smith. Joining me today, wearing a wrinkly shirt, Norman Chan. How you doing?
Wrinkly?
Intentionally wrinkled. Did you craft those wrinkles individually?
Really going back to the old days.
Did you work on this?
Really?
Like, how intentional are the wrinkles? That's what I want to know.
As intentional as me not wanting to iron the shirt.
Gary, what up? It's good to have you back, sir.
It's good to be back.
It's been
however long.
32 days, I think, by my reckoning.
It's been a while.
It's not a multiple
of
seven.
It's been at least, what, 4 or 5 episodes?
It's been 4 or 5 weeks, yeah.
Starting to miss it.
What have you been doing?
I've been working and traveling.
Yeah, so the Walking Dead stuff is out in full force now.
Yeah, that's kind of what had been occupying. That was the main reason why I missed so many weeks in a row. Is that my episode of The Walking Dead video game, episode 4, which is not out yet, but you know they're working on it right now. I was finishing up the script and actually working in Telltale's office for a couple of weeks, finalizing the script and also kind of in the booth with the voice actors doing all that, directing
very
the voice
hands-on
performances. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was great. Actually, one of the things that I enjoyed about working on it was so different to working in film is that the writer really, the writer's welcome through the whole process. As opposed to in film, oftentimes after you hand the script, they're like, thank you, now go away.
Your work
and they
is
go
done.
Off and they go off and make the movie. They don't really ask your opinion about casting or any production aspects. But with The Walking Dead, Telltale have been great about really making me kind of feel like, one of the team and got to help cast some of the new actors, some of the new characters that appear in episode 4, the voice actors, and then was in the booth all the way through saying, faster, more intensity, do it more like this.
You directed.
Yes. So, you're being attacked by zombies now. You have to be more scared.
Did you change dialogue mid-recording? Or
We would occasionally, like an actor would deliver a line, and we're like, it's not quite working. Or I just decided I didn't like the line, and we would kind of do a little bit of surgery right there and give them a new line that they would record that new version.
How did you pick the voices?
They work with various voice agencies who they'll put out a description of like, this is an older character or this is a young girl, and they'll send out a few lines for the actors to read, and those actors will record those lines and send them in as a voice audition, and you pick through them and decide which ones you like.
And so when you're in the booth with them though, like you're in there specifically because you know what they're supposed to be feeling at that time. And it's not like an animated movie or something where they can kind of, they read the entire script, because this is a massive, massive script.
Well, it is.
Right?
I mean, I think it is actually probably more analogous to like an animated movie in that they actually don't have the full script in front of them.
Right.
They just have their lines because they're broken down into individual parts. And so they don't often know the context of the line that they're reading.
Not necessarily done chronologically either.
Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. And so sometimes we would say, okay, what's going on here is like, a line might, you could read it, you could interpret it a dozen different ways. So we'll give them the context of the line. And sometimes if the other part is already recorded, they'll actually play it back for the actor so they have a line to respond to, so they can understand the context better. Because you want the tone of the scene to be even throughout.
Yeah, you don't want to have that Madden thing where that's big time football. And then he completely changes tone
And sometimes we would actually give them a line reading. Like we would read it the way that we think it should be read. And the voice actors are not like, don't tell me how to read, like, dear boy.
Bring something new to every reading.
No, they just want to help. So they will, tell me how you think you would do it. And then they would do their version. But they usually would do several takes. They'll do it the way you want it or the way you've described it. And then they'll try a couple of things. And oftentimes the thing that they improvise or bring to it is more interesting. That's the take we would keep.
And then when you're listening to the takes, do you kind of flag them as, hey, this is the good one, this is the bad one?
They'll do several, and they have really interesting proprietary software that allows you to flag the take that you like, and they mark that one out. They keep all the others as well, in case you want alternates down the road, you decide you want to change it. But they know when they lay in the dialogue, they'll pull like the sound file for this particular line of dialogue, and there'll be like 8 takes, but the one that we want to use has already been flagged, so they know which one to put in the game.
Was there someone in your face with a camera doing the behind the scenes video stuff?
I think they have had that there on other, they didn't have it with us, and in fact it was really weird. The visual aspect of it is strange. I learned a lot about voice actors and voice recording. Like voice actors, I guess it makes sense but you don't really think. It seems surprising when you first see it. Voice actors don't have headshots in the way that regular actors do, because the picture of the person is often wildly different to the voices that they right. can do. And looking at a headshot might be off-putting when they can actually do the voice. I honestly had no idea. I didn't know that Clementine, you know, she's an 8-year-old girl in the game. That's a grown woman doing that voice.
Yeah.
And I came in
like
on the day.
Bart Simpson.
Yeah, I came in the day recording to record Clementine. Like, oh, I'm Clementine. I'm like, what? No. And she would do the voice. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so freaky that you can do that. And in fact, there are a couple of characters, some of the more well-known characters like Kenny and Clementine in the game, who you just really know that voice and associate them with a with the way their character looks,
mm-hmm.
that when they would do the voice recording, that there's a you know, soundproof glass that you can see them through. But I would have to turn the other way and not look, because it's right. actually freaking me out to see that voice coming out of someone else's mouth.
And do they have all the studios on site at Telltale? Or
no,
this
is a separate facility off site.
So it sounds like you've been at least definitely busy.
Yeah, so it's been very good. And the episode now is at that point where I start to get really, really nervous, because the script is basically kind of locked. We may do some pickup dialogue and, you know, tweak a few things here and there. But the episode, you know, the die is basically cast on like what this episode is. And it's particularly worrying for me, given that the first three episodes have been so phenomenally well received. And now, after three episodes in, a lot of the reviews have started to saying things like, if they can just stick the landing with these last two episodes, this could be game of the year. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel like, you know, the anchor runner in a relay race.
And bring in the big time Hollywood screenwriter.
Yeah, yeah. I know. And I think there is a little bit more, because, you know, we've made quite a noise about the fact that I've written this episode.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of people sending me tweets and things saying, you know, you better not fuck this up. You better not hurt Clementine, because a lot of people are really attached to Clementine now, which I think is testament to how well they've managed to, you know, invest people in these characters, that people are really protective of that little girl, and they don't want to see her get hurt. And they'll hold me personally responsible if she is.
Well, at the end of the first episode, because Gina and I did the thing where she's on the couch and I'm in the chair and we're both playing together, like, hey, what should we do? What should we do? Okay, right. Got to decide. And then, I mean, she got to the end and she's like, if Gary fucking kills Clementine, I'm going to be super pissed off at him. So.
Well, we'll see. It's going to be an interesting episode. One of the Telltale guys who'd read the script said it felt like going from Alien to Aliens, because it's a bit bigger, it's a bit more action. We actually allow ourselves to have a little bit more fun with it. I mean, you know, while still hopefully staying true to kind of the relentlessly bleak tone
mm-hmm.
of the show, there's a few elements we've added that will be a kind of more like, you can have fun here for a little while.
Cool.
So we'll see how it goes. I'm very nervous and very excited, and it should be out. I would imagine it'll be out sometime in October.
Excellent. Cool. Yeah. Well, so this has been a big tech news week.
Yeah.
Perfect segue
how
there.
How immersed have you been in the world of technology?
I mean, very little, because working at Telltale as much as I have, and then traveling, you know, we're just in PAX, and they just got back from Hawaii where I was doing a thing there.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, actually I was very surprised. Honolulu has some of the fastest LTE I've ever seen.
Hmm.
Amazingly fast. Really, really great connections there.
Nobody's on phones.
Yeah, and you're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Why would you be on a phone when you could be surfing?
Well, right? And I made a point of that. When I spent the day at the pool and kind of swimming in the ocean, I was like, my phone is staying in my room. I don't even want to be reachable. And I actually kind of enjoy it. It's very, after you get, you know how it's like you're so fused to your phone and you get anxious when you don't have connectivity?
Yeah.
For the first hour, I was like, you know, a little bit itchy, like, I should really have my phone. But after a while, it just goes away. You break through to the other side, and you're like, this is so great not having a phone. I don't care what fires, you know, I need to put out back home. I'm going to sit by the beach and do nothing.
We should just
only for one day.
We should all go to the bay, take our phones, and throw them in there.
You should.
Just do a pact, all three of us right now.
Let's not Let's not actually do it.
Yeah.
Let's think about how cool it would be to do that.
The new phones come out in like 3 weeks, though, so it all works out.
Yeah.
You got to do it a little bit before, so it's a statement rather than, you know.
But no, but to answer your question, I haven't been following the new. I know a few things. I know about September 12th. I know that they just announced some new Windows phones. I know some other things, but I've probably missed more than I've seen.
Well, let's talk about it.
So, you alluded to the Apple event. They sent out an invite to people for that, not us. It's going to be September 12th. The shadow for the 12 makes a 5. It is probably.
Oh, I never noticed that. That's very clever.
Yeah. They always have like a visual.
Well, it's not
kind
like
of
actual.
Gag.
Like if you put a 12 down, the shadow is not supposed to be a 5.
No, they cheated.
They cheated.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, it's clearly going to be an iPhone event. Not going to talk about it anymore at this point.
Have you just very briefly, just indulge me a little bit. Have you noticed that more seems to have leaked out this time than before? Like it doesn't seem like there are many surprises left. Like the shape of it and a lot of
videos out.
Yeah,
you can see it.
Basically, we know it's longer. We know it's thinner. We know it's LTE. We know it has a new connector. We know it has the headphone cable on the bottom.
Yep.
Do you think there's anything like that we like anything significant?
I guarantee you there's a surprise, but it may not be significant.
Mm. I think the new screen size, if people don't follow it day to day, will be wowed because
I'm really looking forward to it.
I mean, right now, if what they announce is basically what we know, and there isn't anything like in the bag, you're going to upgrade?
Oh, absolutely! Come on,
LTE alone is going to be worth it.
The first new form factor on the phone for two generations, almost 3 years.
Yeah, I'm still a little weird about. I'm still a little confused about what making it just longer or taller is really going to do
for movies.
I don't watch.
I've never watched a movie on my phone.
You don't, but they want to sell it to people. You get the extra row of icons scrolling down a web page.
So iOS 6 is going to presumably know when it's on an iPhone 5 and redo the screen with an extra row.
I don't. Okay. The only big question now is how existing apps in the 4x3 aspect ratio is going to run.
Mm.
Whether going to get
black bars.
That's
a very good question. There probably will be black bars.
Will there be a dedicated notification bar?
Don't you think same as with Retina, they'll be optimized for iPhone 5?
Well, obviously. Yeah, of course.
Well, of course. They'll be stretched out to fit.
You know, black bars make sense having a frame because that's how we transition from iPhone to iPad.
Right. Maybe they'll put some beautiful skeuomorphic leather furniture around the...
That is a brilliant idea. You should work at Apple, Gary.
I'm hoping there'll be some type of dedicated notification.
And it's easy to forget about, but I heard today that also they're going to be rolling out the new iPods will be rolled into this event as well.
That is less certain. The general consensus is that the iPad mini event is going to be later and that Apple's never shared an iPhone launch event with any other device.
And you're confident the iPad mini is
24 eggs confident.
He's gone up. That's six eggs a week for the last 4 weeks.
That's a lot of eggs.
That not only before March, that's this year, this holiday season.
How many eggs was it that he couldn't eat in Cool Hand Luke? Was that like 33?
I don't remember. It was a lot, though.
There's a stomach capacity limit you're about to reach with 24 eggs.
Well, I don't worry about it because I don't have to eat the eggs.
I don't think he's going to have to worry about it.
Yeah.
I think he's right. I don't know about before Christmas, although that would be the best situation.
So here are the big things in question because we don't know if there's LTE and we assume there's going to be LTE.
Mm-hmm.
But battery life is...
A phone that launches today without LTE is not good.
Well, and it's going to be LTE. I would eat 60 eggs.
Yeah, okay. So it's about battery life, then.
Because of the longer phone, they've already shown pictures of the battery compared to the 4S battery, and it's equally
longer phone. It's just like with new iPad, higher resolution screen means that you need more power to push those pixels. As long as they keep the phone in the same.
I'm excited about it because you know how much I love my MiFi, and Will, you know, you like yours as well.
Fantastic.
We actually got a ton of use out of it at PAX. As all the AT&T phones were crashing and dying at PAX.
The only way I could get a message out was to use the MiFi.
Yeah.
But remember, LTE also means we'll probably have to all lose our grandfather.
And it was great.
I'm switching to Verizon anyway, so I'm losing it.
While we were around the table at PAX, remember Jeff Green couldn't get a signal out. I said, use my MiFi. Boom, done.
Now, do you think in the phone in iOS 6, because right now, the HSPA Plus is default on all the iPhones, and you cannot go back to Edge even if you wanted to. Now, Edge networks are being phased out anyway. Right. But back then, with like the 3GS, you had the option at least to go back to Edge if you wanted to conserve power, but still have a data connection. You can't do that now.
Well, we'll see.
With LTE, can you turn off LTE and go back to HSPA?
I'm sure you can because there's people that live in areas that aren't served by LTE networks.
But then
it'll automatically switch. But running that radio when you're not going to be in an area that is going to draw more power.
It's not available on, for example, like the iPad.
Right. Well, the iPad is something that is real limited use.
I would like that option to extend battery life.
I am excited about LTE, if only because, as I said, as much as I like my MiFi, I'll be happy to be able to set that aside and just get whatever kind of wireless.
But you wouldn't use tethering for that for like a laptop or anything. I mean,
why not?
Because of the battery life.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but in a situation where I'm tethering, it's probably plugged in.
That's
if I'm
true.
Sitting down with a laptop, I'm probably in a hotel room or something, in which case the phone would be...
He's paying $50 a month for the MiFi
It's probably going to work out cheaper than $50 for the additional device.
You'd think that, but the problem is the data, when you buy data bulk...
Once it's all announced and the plans, I'll be able to do a proper comparison.
Do the math, yeah. That's why I use the iPad for tethering, because it's free with the Verizon.
Right,
that's and also
great.
The battery is so big that it doesn't.
Well, I'm glad to see that you're also going to make the switch, because I tell you, you remember a year ago when there was all the controversy about, you know, I was switching. It's like, oh, who knows which way it's going to go? I'm telling you, it's one of the best things I ever did.
Well, the only thing that's been holding me back is the unlimited data plan on AT&T,
yeah.
Right? And the fact that I had a shitload of rollover minutes and all of my family, I got to switch to AT&T.
Over, shitload of rollover minutes means nothing, though. You're
that's
never
the thing.
Use
no, no, I've used them all. 6 months of not having office phones and actually using the phone when we're working with a new company, and Gina working at home a lot.
My God.
We've gone through all of our rollover minutes.
That's ridiculous.
That and the fact that they've devalued the unlimited data plan almost completely, and the fact that their shared data plans, like if they don't allow LTE on AT&T, it is a no brainer on unlimited AT&T plans. It's a no brainer. Like it is, there is no doubt in my mind that I'm going to switch the moment I can.
I have to be on unlimited text too.
I don't care.
I don't want unlimited. I don't want. Who
needs, I don't want unlimited text. That's the point.
Those are like the days. Only plans now, basically.
Yeah,
unlimited text.
Yeah,
they want you because they know people don't need it. So,
well, if unlimited text was a free option, it's no big deal.
Oh no, it's not a free option.
But it's $15 a phone, which is ridiculous.
It's outrageous.
Yeah.
I've got to look at the data plans a ton because I want to make sure I'm not going to.
I have the absolute smallest minimum text plan available, which just covers like, you know, occasionally I get a text from a non iPhone phone.
So do you think the 4S? You think it was a mistake to upgrade?
I don't think it was a mistake. I don't think I necessarily
needed it.
Yeah, it was.
As
the upgrades went, it was probably the least needed one.
I'm going to tell you guys
because
a secret.
Siri being the big feature, I probably used. I ended up using that very little.
I still use it. Use it very little, and also battery life for me went down.
But again, you know, it's the right thing about these phones is they retain their value, and I will probably get most of the cost of the 5.
Not if you crack it.
Well, not that one. Yeah. But I will find someone who will take this off my hands when the 5 comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I got, you know, last time I sold the 4 for basically what the 4S cost me.
And here goes the most important question, black or white?
I need to see what they look like in the new design.
It doesn't matter if it's black or white, Norm. Michael Jackson said it best.
I'm going with black.
I killed myself last time though when I got black and then agonized over wanting the white. And it was, you know, I always regret not
well, you know,
doing
the band
the
is
thing.
No longer metal now. The band is the color of the phone.
Yeah. So I'm excited about all that.
I feel like we've talked about this more than we should have.
Yeah, you didn't want to talk about it at all.
I didn't want to talk about it at all. I'm tired of talking about iPhone.
Let's
move on to the next thing.
All right. Let's talk about other phones that aren't out yet.
Wait, because isn't it's a week from today?
The 12th.
So we're probably
well, we're recording
wanna,
a day early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're gonna want to jump
next
right
Wednesday.
On that next week.
Yeah. And well, so we have to do a Wednesday afternoon podcast next week again because I'm going to Portland on Thursday.
Yeah, well, I mean, that presumably will be the top.
We'll
be coming right off the fresh news.
Maybe we'll do it live. Let's get crazy.
Wow.
Mm.
Let's do it like what Twit does and do it live and talk over all the Apple guys so you can't hear what the fuck is actually going on at the Apple conference.
Who's gonna watch that? They're not live streaming it, of course.
They're not. Well, we don't know yet, but most likely not.
Yeah, they're not going to live stream it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
I just used to love those Twit streams where they would actually find some kind of live.
Oh, you mean
video.
After Apple puts it up?
Like, they would do it live. Somebody would find a way to live stream
for the WWDC
video.
Or when they did live
stream. Leo holds his laptop.
Yeah,
and
the Twit guys would talk over it so incessantly that you couldn't actually hear what the fuck was going on.
Right. I think what we should do is do a live stream of us watching live blogs on Wednesday morning.
God, no.
Okay, let's do
it's
that.
The worst idea ever. Let's talk about Microsoft and Nokia because they had a press conference Wednesday morning today for us,
today.
Yesterday for you guys. And announced their new phones. They announced a bunch of stuff. The big thing, the big phone, obviously, is the big phone. It's the Lumia 920.
Yeah.
It's the follow-up to the 910. It's an LTE
900.
Phone. Sorry, 900. Yeah. Did I say 910?
Mm-hmm.
900. They've upgraded the hardware. It's the first Windows Phone 8 phone from Nokia. Samsung announced the ATIV. ATIV? A4.
Vita backwards.
A4. Yeah, Vita backwards. Last week, kind of did a, oh, by the way, we're making a Windows 8 phone. The hardware is kind of interesting. It's like this is the new Windows Phone 8 spec. It's not bad. It's
I looked at the specs. I thought it seemed pretty. Everything seemed boosted over the. Over
so
the 900.
It's dual core
remember,
instead of single core. Yeah,
if you remember with Windows Phone 7, the phones were all uniform spec because Microsoft locked it down pretty hard. You had to use Snapdragon processor. You had to have limited resolution, and because of that, most of the Windows Phone 7 phones ran
very well, especially once you had Mango right. installed.
So this is a lot higher resolution.
So this is high resolution. You would think that with Windows Phone 8, Microsoft has a similar – I mean, they're going to open up the spec a little more so you could have lower resolution. But the Mac spec is going to be pretty much the same across all the phones, so you're going to have similar performance.
Are they going to have lower resolution, or are the lower resolution phones going to be Windows Phone 7.8?
I think they're going to have a lower
– Okay.
When, like the 820.
No, I noticed okay. in addition to a 920, there's also an 820. What is that?
820 is a cheapo phone.
And that's also Windows 8?
And it's Windows Phone 8, but it's 800 by 480 screen.
Okay.
So it's lower resolution.
That's the budget.
That's the budget.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So,
and wireless charging, very nice.
So, okay. So 920 has, it looks just like the 900, except bigger screen even. 900 was
a little bit bigger.
Yeah, the yellow one that I saw looks very
interesting. The yellow one looks awesome.
So, and I love the way that they match the case with the tiles. Yeah. So it all looks like
other. So you know Windows Phone has the real bright colored tiles. You can't change the colors between tiles.
Yeah, you can.
You choose one color scheme.
Right. So you can have the yellow scheme
or the green one. It's nice
and
bright.
But they don't want a garish, multicolored mix of different colored tiles.
Yeah, you don't want a potpourri.
Well, the third party stuff may still have different colors.
Sure, the pictures and photos and whatever animated stuff. But the color, it's the same type of polycarb construction as the 900. So they're really different themselves from Apple. The phone looks like it might be a little heavy because remember the 900 was bigger than the 810, which we liked. We liked the 810.
The 900 was big.
900 was big because it needed a big battery for LTE. This one will also have LTE. The 920 will have LTE. And it weighs, I think, 185 grams. Which is 40 grams more than the iPhone, the current iPhone 4S. So,
how much is that in American?
It's a third of a pound.
Okay. That doesn't seem too heavy.
It's a big phone.
Yeah. It's going to be in your pocket.
Yeah, it's going to be in your pocket.
It's still slightly curved, which I like.
It has that curved screen. It's shiny or matte for the polycarb.
Is it depending on the color, or can you choose?
Depending on the color. So, okay. Like, for example, red is going to be shiny only. Black is going to be matte.
Okay.
What's the yellow? Is it matte or shiny?
I think the yellow is shiny, unfortunately.
I don't want the shiny. So on the 900, I got to see some of the different polycarb shells. The shiny ones looked like they kind of look like they're going to scuff and stuff like that. I haven't actually used one of those for long term, but the matte ones held up really well.
Because the color is through the entire plastic.
It is through
it's
the entire
just a paint job.
Yeah.
Like when it scuffs, you still have
they are very attractive phones.
Yeah.
So it has the 1280 by 768 screen, which is pretty high resolution. It's going to look better than.
Why 768 though? Why not 720p?
Because they don't want to be 16:9, 16:10.
Oh, so they're 16:10. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. And also, I think, what is Nokia calling that screen? Like the Pure View
or something?
No, Pure View is the camera. Yeah. The screen is pure black or clear black or something
pure
like that.
Pure something HD plus.
Is it AMOLED or LCD?
It's LCD.
Such a Jack Donaghy creation.
Yeah.
It's LCD, IPS.
Motion
LCD.
Active HD plus.
Something silly because they're saying it has high refresh rate, so video is going to look good on it.
All right.
It has the adaptability for sunlight. Those screens look – I think the 810 was – Was
800
or the previous one?
Oh,
the 810,
right.
Was that OLED or was LCD?
I want to say that the small one was OLED and the big one was
LCD.
So
there won't be any more Windows 7 phones going forward, right? It's all going to be Windows Phone 8.
The Windows 7 phones will be updated to Windows 7 8, which is the stopgap,
right, the kind of the halfway house.
Yeah,
version,
because the kernel's different.
Yeah,
And the new phones will have some shared code with Windows 8. So when you download like the modern apps on Windows 8,
and when are these Windows 8 phones coming out?
No release date yet.
Stephen Elop said they will be in select markets with intense focus in Q4 of this year.
What does that mean?
I assume that means they're going to focus really hard on trying to sell phones at the end of this year.
Nokia, when they partnered with Microsoft, they basically dumped all their Migos stuff.
Good.
Huge investment on their part. It was a bold move to actually say, developers, stop what you're working on. We're going to go with Windows. And they launched the Lumia 810 last year and the 900 earlier this year. They've sold about 7 million worldwide across –
That's not that many. Okay.
That's not that many. And Microsoft or Ballmer
– Does that include the 700 phones as well?
Include the Lumia, every phone brand.
Considering
Lumia,
that they were selling those for starting out at like $99 and down to $0
this is
with the contract.
So this is not looking good. That's why Nokia's stock also went down.
Sales-wide.
Ballmer says there will be 400 million plus or 100 million plus Windows phones that they're pushing out.
Almost says a lot of things.
Here's the thing about the Lumia is that they launched at the end of the cycle for that OS. Mm-hmm. There were big questions about whether it was going to be supported. I think this phone is the phone that determines the success of Windows Phone. This first generation Windows 8 phones.
Did we say that about the last one?
No, the last one was a kind of trial water. It was for early adopters, so they had something out there.
But it was heralded as kind of like, finally, this is what you could point out as like the Windows flagship phone.
Well, and the stuff that they set up in that phone is carrying on, except for all the people who bought those phones are getting fucked and have to buy new phones,
Does it behoove them to try and get this out before the end of the year? Is the holiday season a big selling season for phones, I mean, like it is everything else?
If they'd been smart, you would have been able to go out and buy the phone tomorrow they announced it
today. Do people really give phones as holiday gifts, though?
To kids.
Like the contract and everything else, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, dads and kids, and families.
Families go together to the stores and all get phones together.
Right. Really? Do they all get the same phone?
Or similar phones, depending on how many upgrades you get.
See, I never... Yeah, I don't even know how that works. Buying
no, of course, the app
kids.
Problem remains, right?
That's the big problem to me with Windows Phone right now is the app situation is really uncertain, and the fact that Brad was in Seattle this week and couldn't get a cab, and there's no Uber app.
I made a funny tweet about
phone.
That.
What did you say?
I
Gary?
Made a funny. He said, "There's no Uber app." And by the way, Uber is terrific. I used it a lot in Seattle. It was great.
Yeah, it's really good.
Really, really amazing.
The
service.
Only problem with it is you have to get out of a sedan and you feel like kind of a, you know, I feel like I'm not adequate to get out of a sedan. Like a
dude doesn't open the door for you, to be fair.
It does for me.
Sometimes
what?
He does, yeah.
I'd never
I insisted. I sat in the back.
He's waiting.
He
hold your arm.
Really? You wait?
I bet he does an extra surcharge.
I don't like it. I always insist on opening the door myself, even though the guy like tries to run around and beat me to it so he can open the door.
Yeah, you gotta be fast.
I got it, dude.
Go out the other side.
You gotta always have a folded newspaper with you. Yeah. So fold under your arm.
Yeah. Who carries a newspaper?
That's you carry it for riding Uber, so you can walk out as if you were reading the Wall Street Journal or something, reading the finance section of newspaper.
Yes,
get
I just
car.
Put my 3DS in
my
pocket.
I'll be sure to roll up the newspaper as I roll up on my penny farthing. So yeah, Uber was great, and Brad said something about there's no official Uber, and this is the problem, right, with Windows 8 or Windows Phone. There's an Uber. Uber is a great app that you might want to use. If you've got an iPhone or an Android phone, you're in luck.
Yeah.
With your Windows phone, not so much. Apparently, there is an unofficial version.
Well, there's a lot of unofficial versions.
What happened was Brad started off complaining about how he couldn't get a cab. And I said, dude, Uber. This is what all the cool kids know about Uber. And he said, okay, I'll get that. And he goes, classic Windows phone experience, goes in the app store. There's just nothing there. And managed to find some unofficial one. I said, oh, it's unofficial. I don't know if it works. I wrote back and said, yes, it works, but they send a clown car.
Retrospect, we shouldn't have gone through
Uber
that.
Uber in San Francisco has a budget option now, so it's not the town car.
It's not really. Well, they do have a budget
option.
It's a hybrid. In certain markets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In San Francisco. Yeah. That's one of them. If you want to have the convenience of the GPS and have a guy pick you up, but not feel.
It is a terrific service. I've never waited more than 5 minutes for a car. It's always a nice, clean car.
The driver is always
friendly and courteous.
Bottles of water?
I had
bottles
a bottle
of water.
Water.
And it's not that much more expensive than a regular
taxi
cab. I had a
fake Uber experience.
Oh, no.
Uber hijack. Getting out of a meeting last week, 2 weeks ago. I did an Uber. Uber here in a meeting. And then I called the Uber in the elevator to get back to the office.
Yeah.
And I was waiting outside, and a town car drives up, and I pull the door open. I go, Uber? And he nods his head.
What?
Get inside. And I give him the address because that's how Uber works. Give the address.
Right.
2 blocks down, get the phone call. It's your Uber driver. I'm like,
no.
I'm in a town car. And then I go, are you with
this
Uber?
Is like some Liam Neeson movie or something.
And then
the door's locked.
Yeah. Yeah. And the guy's like,
what was that Angelina Jolie movie with Denzel? The Bone Collector. This is how the Bone Collector starts.
And I'm like, is this Uber? And he goes, oh, that's just a town car.
But you said it was Uber.
But you said he nodded.
Did you pay?
So I said, take me back.
Was it just a complete coincidence that this town car rolled up?
I think there were town cars that drive around trying to pick up people waiting for
Uber. Trying to pose as Ubers.
Yeah.
Well, here's how you avoid that in future. When they tell you that your Uber is coming, they'll give you the license plate of the car.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because I get the text message that says
your
driver
kind of
arrived.
Yeah.
And they tell you the name.
Yeah, it tells you the name.
Name of the driver.
It tells you the name of the driver and the car's.
I didn't want to
presume,
you know, racist or anything. So I presume the guy was Jamal. So.
Wow.
That was my driver's name.
You were a victim of reverse racial profiling.
I didn't want to presume.
You racially profiled and suffered as a result.
No, I didn't want to presume that guy wasn't Jamal. And so I'm like, okay.
But it sounds like even if you'd have said, are you Jamal? He would have nodded his head.
He just nodded.
So you insisted that he take you back to the location.
Yeah.
So did you give him any money?
I gave him a couple bucks.
And then you got the real Uber.
And I got the real Uber, and we had a nice conversation about all the fake Ubers.
Wow. Who knew? I got to watch out for that. I look for the license plate, but yeah, that's definitely something to look out for.
I just ask you the name, or sometimes I call and see if they pick up their phone.
Because there are a lot of people driving town cars around the city.
Mm. There are a lot of town cars in the city. Okay, back to the Lumia. The other thing is the camera. They're calling it PureView. It's an 8-megapixel floating sensor. Norm, what is a floating sensor?
Floating sensor means nothing. It means that the lens is not fixed, and so you have image stabilization.
So it's on like little motors, servo motors or something? Or a cushion of air?
I don't think it's a cushion of air. It's not the 41-megapixel PureView sensor that was in the Nokia 808. So Nokia had a Symbian phone, the 808, which had a 41-megapixel sensor on a phone. It bulged out from the camera, from the phone. But when you take a picture, it actually just takes all the pixels, does some math, and you get a 5-megapixel image.
Okay.
But really sharp.
So it's
sharp.
Like AA, basically.
Really, really sharp and no noise, or very little noise. This one, while they're calling it PureView, does not have that. It's just an 8.7-megapixel sensor. But from the reports I've read and the sample photos I've seen taken with it, the low light is incredible and much better than the iPhone 4S.
That's good.
Wish we could just fast forward in time and see what's going to happen with Windows Phone, because it's so intriguing, and we just don't know what's going
to
happen.
Well, yesterday I was talking to Brad, because Brad Shoemaker is one of the people that's on the fence. He's been using Windows Phone for a while.
He is the mythical undecided.
My theory is that when the iPhone 5 comes out, he'll just bite the bullet.
Well,
you see the tweets from him yesterday, it was all 5555555555.
Yes.
The conversation I had with him started with, well, I kind of like Windows Phone. I was like, well, what do you like about Windows Phone? We went through the whole thing. I was like, and it ended up with me telling him, hey, look, the platform is unproven at this point. They have some apps that are pretty good. The phones are okay. You know, all that stuff is there, but we don't know where the developers are going to.
We don't know how they stand on these issues. Well, they should have a national convention, the Windows Phone national convention, and get Cal Penn to MC it.
There's an iPhone in an empty chair,
and have Bill Gates come up and do a speech.
It's not some ideological problem that he's got with Apple. He's not like Matt Rorty.
No.
Just won't have Apple products in his house or anything.
No, the problem he has is that he likes the Xbox integration. He's hopeful that there's new Xbox integration.
That's such a trivial feature.
And the thing that
you got to be really into your Xbox.
Now, Brad Shoemaker, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago?
Yeah, that's right.
The fundamental problem is it worth your money to invest in an ecosystem so that they can build? To invest in the hardware so they can build an ecosystem around you, or would you rather buy a phone that has an ecosystem now, use it for the next 2 years, and then if the other thing takes off, spend your money in 2 years?
I don't know why you'd buy a Windows Phone at this point, given just how far behind it is in functionality, just because of the apps.
I think if you're an existing Windows Phone user and you're happy with all those apps, and it's not the case where it's like Uber where it's specialized use case, it's more of the banking stuff where everyone has a different bank. And not every bank is going to develop.
If you're
apps
an existing, I mentioned this to Denny the other day, earlier today, and Denny said, like, "Oh, I don't use a lot of apps. I only use my apps on my iPad. Mm-hmm. I only really need like a small handful of apps on my phone." And the problem is, even if you only need a small handful of apps, there's a good chance that Windows Phone does not have one of them.
Well, yes, like Kindle and stuff like that is pretty good.
Like you said, if you're with Bank of America or Wells Fargo or whatever bank, you want to make sure doing phone banking is very useful.
Well, the last time I went down the list of bank apps on Windows Phone, they had the top five.
Okay.
And then of the top 20, there were some fairly significant holes.
Right.
So if you're with Bank of America or Chase or Citibank, you're probably okay.
But it's very telling.
Everybody else, you're boned.
Anytime you see a commercial for an app, like we see a lot of billboards around San Francisco for new apps.
Yeah,
and you always see the iPhone logo. You always see the Google Play logo.
Yeah.
What used to be the Android logo, but I've never seen a Windows
and this
phone
is,
logo.
And this is the battle. It's a really unfortunate situation that Microsoft has put itself in, because they've put a lot of money in encouraging developers to develop apps. You know, and it shouldn't be about whether the app is there, but it should be how the app is implemented. The debate should be whether you like the iOS implementation of how apps work and are tied to iCloud, or whether you like the Metro Modern UI style of the apps.
But if the app isn't even there in the first place,
which is why
it's
a terrible place to be.
Yeah. Well, and the unfortunate situation is that I think Microsoft was banking on the same app running on Windows Phone and Windows 8, and that's not going to be the case. It seems
we don't know if that's.
It seems like from everything that I've read that Windows Phone 8 apps will run a subset of APIs of Windows 8 apps, but they'll have to have some work done to work. So it's not the same app on Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 necessarily.
There needs to be a massive initiative at Microsoft to foster app
development. You know what? I think it's more important. For them.
They've been working on it. But
it's way more important for them to foster app development on Windows 8 side, because that's you go top down. And so because if Windows 8 apps fail, if the Windows 8 marketplace does not succeed, then those developers have no incentive.
Well, sure, but the next iteration of Windows Desktop is kind of – the fix is kind of in on that one. Right? We know that's not going to fail. Whereas even if
Vista fails, they're still going to sell millions of copies.
I mean, if they can survive Vista, they can survive anything. Whereas Windows Phone 8 is very much like on life support, in the balance. Like every decision they make really matters as to whether or not this platform will succeed or fail. So
the other thing to note about the new Lumia phones is that the screens work if you're wearing gloves, which I've been told is important to the billions of people who live in cities where it gets below 50 degrees.
It does often get very
Canada.
Cold.
People were derisive about our San Francisco tech journalist not caring about gloves and phone support. So you don't have to buy a special pair of gloves.
That's a legitimate thing. And, of course, the wireless charging is pretty cool too.
Wireless charging is one of those things that is awesome if the phone does all the other stuff that you have. But if your bank app doesn't – if you don't have a bank
app, it's not going to make up
then you're not going to be like, oh, yeah, I can sit on a pillow and it'll charge.
The problem with wireless charging is that the charging accessories are going to be expensive and we don't know what the wattage level is. So right now if I can plug in my – for example, the iPhone and the iPad charger and get the full supercharge, that is great. I can go home before going out to dinner, plug it in, and get like a 20% battery boost. If it's going to be conductive charging and it's going to charge at 5 watts at a time really slowly and meant for overnight, as convenient as it is to put that phone on a table and have it charge, it's
going
to be slow.
I mean, these days, you know, jet set young go-getters that we are, we often want to get like just like, I've got 5 minutes. I'm going to get a little boost on my battery.
I got to get all I got.
Yeah.
I'm going to get what I can.
Make the difference.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's the Nokia Microsoft stuff. There were a few Windows Phone 8 features that they announced. The OS is finally going to support screenshots. I thought that they'd added that at some point in the past.
How can you not support something that basic?
Well, I don't know why they're excited.
Android didn't have that until either.
4. This is a good thing. It's a good thing for people like us more than normal people though.
I think it's more important that they open stuff like the camera API to apps so apps can actually take advantage of the camera.
Yeah, so the new camera stuff was really interesting too. They're adding a series of lenses. I'm air quoting lenses if you're listening to the audio version. They're basically like Instagram, supercharged Instagram filters is what I would say. And they can do everything from stuff like Instagram filters do all the way up to automating the cinemagram creation with the – what's it called? Cinemagraph.
Microsoft. Their fingers on the pulse of internet trends.
Smart shooting. Smart shoot lets you tap something that's moving in a photo and it will just remove it. So it replaces it with the background from your shot, which I think sounds pretty cool.
Okay.
I'd never use that stuff. I want better raw pictures. Raw pictures.
Like, you want raw from your camera phone?
I don't want raw files. I want good original.
He wants the best reality reflected in the photograph.
And let me do my post-processing on a computer.
I don't want some kind of bullshit Stalin filter. Next it'll be just removing people you don't like. Actually, I would like that.
Yeah, that'd be great if you could just have a list of people on your photograph.
All of my pictures would just be blank landscapes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take the best landscape
and the baby
in the city.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the baby.
It's just the baby floating in space.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. There you go.
Because I hate myself, so any pictures of me holding the baby, it would just look like the baby is floating.
Flying baby everywhere you go.
Brilliant. I love it.
This is a great best feature
ever.
All
right, good feature.
So yeah, that's it for the Windows, Microsoft, Lumia.
I agree.
Microsoft
I think that event. Is it.
You think this is the end?
That's just about it.
I really like that yellow color. I'm glad that somebody's doing
like
the industrial
design
stuff.
I love the way that it matches the colors of the tiles. Like it feels the hardware and software feel integrated.
I think that the moment Apple announces whatever magical thing we haven't seen yet from the next iPhone,
I'm racking my brains to figure out what it could be.
That's interesting because you know when Apple first did the iPods and iPod Minis, and every iPod iteration had multiple colors until they went with iOS, until iPhones and iPod Touch, and then you're only going to get iPod Touch in the glossy silver back, and iPhones only came out in black or white, and we never got multiple color iPhones.
Nope.
Why was
Although,
that?
there is a kiosk at my local mall
change the back
and give you very fancy colors.
Yeah.
I actually was almost
I think people want it.
Yeah, if you want that
people definitely want colors.
There's blinged out iPhones. Then why not?
Yeah.
Well, that's when the colors start coming in. If you look at the iPhone, the iPod.
I know like the white was a manufacturing problem. Like they couldn't get the white out for
a long time.
But if you look at the iPod, the history of the iPod, the colors started coming in when they stopped having new features. So, you know, if you look at it that way.
Well, they changed the form factor every year and then it also added colors.
But yeah, the colors came when there was feature parity between the hard drive-based player and the flash-based player.
And to be honest,
you know where you got the colors? It was in the socks. It was in the iPhone socks.
Yeah, you did do in the, well,
if,
the well, nano
I mean,
socks.
If you really want to trace it back, it goes all the way back to the first iMacs.
Yes.
The candy-colored iMacs. Mm-hmm. And that created a trend. In a way, I'm kind of glad that they don't have too many color choices, because even
you would
just
be crippled,
with two, I'd be absolutely paralyzed.
Let's talk about Motorola's and Verizon's event, because they did an event immediately following the Nokia Microsoft event.
Okay.
Apparently, Microsoft trucked people over. Oh, last thing on the Nokia side, they're doing Nokia Maps across all of Windows Phone 8. It seems like now Nokia's doing some special customizations for their phones. And the general consensus is that even with the TomTom apps maps in iOS 6, which I've been using fairly extensively, Apple's going to be in a distant third behind Android in the lead and Nokia in second
Android
place.
Android still will have the best.
Android Nav is by far the best.
Yeah, still
like just the predictive stuff. The fact that so on a GPS, the difference between good GPS and bad GPS for me is, how often does it annoy you with voice nav prompts that you don't need? Does it say turning left in 1/2 mile, turning left in 1/4 mile, turning left in 600 feet, turning left in 200 feet?
That'd be an easy
turn left now. It is a super easy problem. The Google one is great. It says get right. If you don't get right, it tells you again, and then it tells you when you're supposed to turn.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you just the right amount of time to get over without having to feel like you're being reckless,
yeah,
or have anxiety or prompting you too much to
plus
feel like you're missing something.
Plus, there's databases, yeah, for public transportation and also walking.
Right. The public transportation database is massive when you're in a city that you're not familiar with.
Those are good. I have used those before.
Yeah. I mean, going to Portland, I'm not looking forward to going to Portland next week.
Yeah, I had to ride the bus in Seattle recently, and I got the used, and it tells you the times.
Yeah,
it tells you the routes. It's great.
I don't have that anymore. It's gone. So
well, because you know, iPhone people don't ride the bus.
Right,
they drive around in their fancy cars.
Right. I just have to Uber everywhere I go.
It should be the option. It's like either the car option or the Uber option is just baked into the.
Yeah, I give up option. Yeah. I don't want to read a map.
Shit. So let's talk about Motorola and Verizon. Announced a bunch of new phones today. They're kind of reskinned versions of old phones in some cases. So the Razer Max HD Razer HD.
Razer Max Extreme.
Double X.
It's two X's in Max.
Wow.
Does that make you feel
good?
One
extra X.
I don't understand why these are two different phones. Because the only difference that I can tell between them is that the battery is bigger in one than the other.
I just love the fact that someone at like Motorola's marketing department is sitting there looking at that document and going, we should probably add an extra X onto the Max so that people feel like it's really extreme.
Well,
like that's actually a conversation that somebody got paid money to have.
They're living in the 90s because they're reinvigorating the phone that defined the 90s.
The Razer was.
Razer.
I remember when the Razer was the shit hot phone. I long before people lined up for iPhones, I was first in line, not in line, but I got that phone the day it came out.
Like, well, do you remember the StarTAC before that? The first time you saw some guy with a phone in his shirt pocket?
Amazing.
Yeah.
The fat battery or the thin
battery. But the Razer was the first one that really kind of felt like the kind of the Star Trek communicators. Like, flip, flip, flip.
Yeah, that's true.
But the thing is, back in those days and back before smartphones, we had the general aesthetic of a phone, like a Razer or like the Nokia, like the Candy phone.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't care or didn't know about the different models and different features.
There weren't features.
There were so many different models. Some of the Nokias you could do kind of tied tethering. Some you couldn't. But we didn't care, and people are just more informed now.
The difference is that now there's a uniform expectation for functionality because it's their software. I mean, what's happened is the phone has gone from being a unified, cohesive device to being a platform to run software.
And the
on.
Thing is, technological styles don't come back in fashion the way that other things.
Like,
it's okay for things that, like, in the 80s and 90s to come back, like fashion trends. But technology, as Dennis Duffy would say, he would say it's technology cyclical. It's not.
No.
Like, it's like, oh, here's some technology. Here's some
dummy.
Now your phone could look like it did in the 90s.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
Guys, I'm going to go buy a bunch of green and orange Hercules monochrome CRTs, and I'm replacing all of my LCDs with them.
That's only in the movies.
Nothing but Hercules.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if like the next iPhone looked like the old Nokia candy bar phones? Remember those old bulky ones? Oh, remember those phones that used to have like leather cases on them? The real old.
Yeah. You can get leather cases for your iPhone.
I know, but.
Okay. Razer Max HD, Razer HD, Razer M. The Razer M is kind of the interesting thing. It is a cheap $99 on contract phone. It ships with Chrome as the default browser. It's 4G. It's got a 2,000 milliamp hour battery, 8 gigs of storage with a micro SD slot. It's the same shitty 960 by 540 Super AMOLED screen.
This just feels like another raft of Android phones have been released. Like, are there any in here that actually stand out?
Well, you want to know why they stand out?
Why?
They're all running Ice Cream Sandwich.
Oh, that is cool.
No. Because Jelly Bean is out.
Oh, no, I thought Ice Cream. No, Jelly Bean is the new one.
See,
okay.
You've been away for a long time.
Oh, no, that doesn't stand out. Like, every Android phone, but except a couple of very rare
Google
ones.
Google owns Motorola.
That's pathetic, isn't it?
Yes.
Synergy.
They'll be out by the end of the year with Ice Cream Sandwich on all of these phones, supposedly. And this is good news, guys.
As Mitt Romney says, corporations are people, Motorola is the village idiot. Because...
oh.
I got taken to the dance by the super nerd.
What is the point of spending billions and acquiring these companies and bringing them all in-house if they still don't talk to each other?
Because they sued Google, sued Apple with a bunch of the Motorola patents last week.
Madness. Utter madness.
More good news. If you're a Motorola customer and bought a phone in 2011...
You know what I would do if I was the boss of Google or Motorola?
If you were Sergey Brin?
You know that scene in The Untouchables where Robert De Niro... has all his capos,
yeah,
and all the people sitting around the table. And he's got the baseball bat,
yeah,
and he tells a story about how baseball is a team sport. And he goes, "I get nowhere unless the team wins." And then he beats the fucking guy's brains out with that baseball bat.
Yeah, I remember that.
Else is like shocked into realizing, "Oh shit, we better get our shit together." That's exactly the meeting I would have at Google. And suddenly, I guarantee you, the next phones that come out would have fucking Jelly Bean on them.
So you're saying you're suggesting that Sergey Brin should start arbitrarily killing people in staff?
No,
meetings.
Just one person.
Okay,
just arbitrarily kill one person with a baseball bat in front of everyone else. And I'm guaranteed, do you really think everyone else would then go back to their desk and say, fuck it, I don't care?
He's not going
to
do that again.
They would be sending memos, they'd be talking to engineers, we need to get Jelly Bean on his next fucking phones now. I don't want to get my brains beaten out.
I think that the California State Labor Board would have problems with Sergey Brin killing people at staff. Yeah,
it's Google, he can get all that shit and get covered up.
That's why they got good death insurance.
I guess they've probably killed three people this week.
Got high prices. Their lawyers are better than Al Capone's were. You don't think he could get away with that shit? Of course he could.
You're right, he is Sergey Brin.
No one knows what goes on inside that campus.
Yeah, the Google, they got guys shipping us airplanes in wingsuits.
They pay dudes to look at kiddie porn all day. It's a thing that they do
at
Google.
Remember when I said that the way to motivate Google employees was to get rid of that really great cafeteria, just put one shitty vending machine?
Yeah.
So you get the good food back once you start getting your shit together.
Yeah.
Well, clearly Google didn't listen to me. That hasn't worked.
Right.
So now you've got to step it up. You've got to go to the next level start murdering people.
You've kind of taken a dark turn since you've been gone, man. All this zombie stuff is...
Extreme motivation. Situations call for extreme measures.
It's something you learn from reality TV, from Harsh Boss.
Big Brother.
Yeah.
Hit him with a giant tongue. Yeah. If you bought a Motorola phone in 2011, most of those phones will be upgraded with Jelly Bean by the end of the year, which is very nice because it'll only be 6 months until the next version of Android comes out at that point.
I don't know people who love Android who are excited about Motorola phones. They used to be with a Droid.
But as much as we joke about it, isn't the reality that 99% of people don't know or care that they're not
probably
running
the
most recent operating system?
If you bought a 2011 phone and you don't get Jelly Bean by the end of this year, you'll get a $100 credit toward the purchase of a new Motorola Mobility Android phone.
All right.
So you can keep buying into the circle of doom. I'm really excited. I was hoping that they were going to announce a new Nexus phone at this event today, but that seems to be coming later, if at all, this year. So,
no, we got a Galaxy Nexus last year.
Yeah, they've done a Nexus phone every year so far, for every release. We got the Nexus 7 with Jelly Bean. I think that might be the Nexus phone. Nexus for this
generation.
Great
opportunity for them once all them Samsung phones get pulled off the shelves. They can just move into
people
all the empty shelf space.
That Galaxy S3.
Yeah, I hear it's a good phone.
Yeah. My brother has one.
But there's no skinless phones.
If you were going to move to Android, would you rather have the Nexus or the S3?
I'd rather have the HTC One X.
Oh, you would? Why is
yeah,
that?
The One X is like what HTC. I would buy. It's pretty nice.
What's
the
nice
screen
about
is just amazing.
It's really, really good.
Okay, but I thought the S3 was supposed to be the shit.
Yeah, but. I still don't like TouchWiz at all. Even though it's not.
I saw a thing,
anymore.
I think it was the S3, a TV commercial, and the guy is watching a video and sending a text at the same time. The video in one half of the screen, a text in the other.
Yeah.
Like, and this is the next thing. It's like, it's not even. Remember how just being consumed by your phone screen was bad enough?
Yeah.
And how you can't watch TV anymore without also kind of like looking at your phone. Like you gotta have, now you can't even look at one thing on your phone anymore. Now you gotta
spoken
have
like
shit.
A true Apple fan, because just because you can't do that on iOS.
No, it's just
Gary, I need you to go to a concert that I'm at, so you can send me some video
And also, I want to be able to send the video from my phone to a massive screen on
down,
the wall across
so
the street.
The people on
which,
the street,
of course, is something that totally would and could happen in real life all the time.
I would like for that to happen. I'd like people to take over a screen in Times Square.
To be fair, that's T-Mobile, and T-Mobile was terrible.
These commercials are pretty typical of the stupidity of all these folks. Like trying to present things, you would never do it. You would just be an asshole if you did that.
Have you seen that the commercial with what happens when your phone's asleep during a movie?
No.
When you watch
that?
A movie, what? Your phone is asleep, but your phone has dreams. So you gotta go to this website and see what your phone is dreaming about.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
What was your phone dreaming about, Norm?
I don't know. I don't use that phone.
There was some commercial on my Delta. Oh, by the way, Delta, what a fucking shit airline that is. Just awful.
Wow, we're hitting it on all cylinders today.
Just awful. Delta is terrible. I had to fly them, though, because that was the only airline that was available.
Virgin America doesn't go to Hawaii, it turns out.
I don't know if they do or not, but I wish they did, because Virgin America is the only airline I like flying anymore. Everything else is shitty. Virgin America is spoiled.
I was on the best flight back from PAX. It was like
I heard you were with
50,
Jake Rutkin.
Yeah, I saw Jake. I saw a bunch of PR people I've known
over
the years.
You doing awkward texting between seats and stuff?
I tried to, but nobody would bite. I even Twittered my seat ID
because
so people would.
Because it is pathetic.
Oh, yep. It's the worst thing ever because the
so
keyboard's
who
terrible.
Who else was on your flight?
Jonathan Blow was on there.
Oh, nice. Was he in first class?
He was on. I was perfectly synced travel companion for Jonathan Blow on this PAX because he flew on the flight out too. Oh. Also first class.
Right, right.
I saw Scott Butterworth from P-Tom, I guess.
Okay. Who, I got Simon Jeffrey, the former president of LucasArts, on mine.
That's good.
He was sitting right behind me.
It was like all of Take Two PR. Yeah, their PR team was there. Access was there. It was fun.
We actually bumped ourselves up to first class on the way back because it was only like $39 extra.
It was full, or I would have done it too.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
But Delta is terrible. And they were running a commercial for this thing. I couldn't figure out who it was a commercial for. But it was like when you drive a luxury car. You know how they have like chicanes and like, you know, the kind of hardcore proving grounds for like elite sports cars?
It looks like Top Shot.
It was a bullshit thing, but they did this commercial where they had done that for luxury cars. And like how putting luxury cars through their paces. And they had like these three kind of, you know, straight out of Central Casting, young, multi, you know, all demographics, ethnic families,
sure.
but all like kind of like upper middle class families that were driving these three cars. And one was an Audi, one was a Lincoln, and the other one was like a Lexus or something. And clearly it was a commercial for like one of the three was the one that was actually being advertised as better as the others. I couldn't figure out which one though.
I hope that one
it
of the,
no sound.
Two, the two cars that lost ended up exploding in a fireball.
Let me just tell you. So Delta is still running, you know, like the CRTs, like every five rows down the middle.
Well, yeah,
of
planes. Those planes are 30 years old.
This plane was a real piece of shit.
Hey, you flew on it over the ocean.
Yeah. I didn't feel safe at all.
If you want to talk about something that annoys me, I've now, like over the last year, we've flown enough Virgin flights that fucking video, the safety video they show.
Wait, don't watch it.
It's cute the first time.
It's so bad.
It's cute the first time, but this is why it's good to sit in first class because you get a live demonstration instead of the video. You still have to listen to it, but you don't get to watch.
Put on nice sound dampening earphones. Go to sleep before the plane takes off.
Yeah, that's what I try.
I wish some Benadryl.
Go to sleep before I take the plane.
Yeah, they really need to update that. I
sent in a note. Like when I sent in the note thanking the guy for getting my Kindle, I also said, by the way, you need to like change the thing.
We should start a campaign. These are the issues that really matter.
I'm tired of this this funny video.
Yeah. Yes, I don't want to see
video.
It's racist against people from Spain.
I always
Toriadors.
Wonder. Because you know, obviously FAA regulations says they have to do, you know, the demonstration, but they go by so quickly. You know,
why do they think the Spanish guy can't work the seatbelt?
Do you feel like you're being rude or disrespecting the flight attendant if you're clearly not paying attention when they're doing it? Do you feel like you at least owe them?
I stare off into space. I don't make eye contact.
The thing is, it is pointless because the reality is this: if the plane actually starts going down, you're going to forget everything that you heard in that demo. You're just going to freak out.
You've heard that so many times at this point. You can do everything on lift the door, open, throw it through.
Put the mask on yourself first before putting it on a child next to you.
Fuck the kids.
Yeah. And you know what? That seat underneath you works as a flotation device.
No, it does not on Virgin. You don't pay attention.
No, you see, this is why you should pay attention. Because it does not.
It's in a pocket underneath the seat.
Yeah.
And or if you're in first class, it's between
the seats. Put the vest on and then blow.
Don't inflate it until you leave the plane.
Everything about Virgin America is great except that video.
Yeah.
Could you redo the whole demonstration by heart?
I could probably do most of it.
The last time I was in first class on Virgin, I was sitting next to Gene and I narrated what was happening on the video during the talk.
Do some commentary.
Yeah,
Rift Track.
This is when the Bull comes out.
But it's still now better. Toreador still better than flying belt. Delta or United or any of these other.
Well, yeah, of course.
Airlines that are still flying these fucking planes from Eisenhower's era. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
This Delta plane.
Real people
work
those planes
like,
too.
Like fraying carpet and just everything about it was just grody and.
Do you know what a capital expense airliner is? They have to fly those things for like 25 years.
Or just the cabin. The cabin is very expensive.
I know, but you can refurbish them every now and again, surely.
Well, you know, there are these awesome conventions.
Oh, and by the way, they didn't have Wi-Fi. And both times, they had Wi-Fi and the Wi-Fi logos. Like, okay, anytime you're like 5A flight, you know what? Wi-Fi will actually be really good on this flight.
Yeah.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Even though it says Wi-Fi, we do not actually have Wi-Fi on this flight. And they did that in and out. I was like, you motherfuckers.
Well, but it doesn't work on over the water.
Then why put the logo there?
On the plane or on the...
It was on the logo. It was on the website.
Next to the flight information?
Oh.
I'm so sorry. Louis C.K. has a bit about you.
Yeah, and that still stands up, but oh my God.
Windows 8 start menu replacements.
So
as we all know,
Windows 8 is coming out October 26th. The RTM is out now. Will has it installed on his computer. I am on the fence.
You should install it.
Debating. I think I am going to install it because...
I mean, for professional purposes, I don't think anybody should install it.
But. I am going to install it. I'm going to go do a clean wipe of my system. It is a big hassle of doing a clean install whenever you want to upgrade to a new OS.
Yeah.
Never do the in-place install. That is the worst idea ever.
I do it on OS X, though.
OS X makes sense. You have to. You can't do a clean install.
You can, but it's a huge pain in the ass.
Then it's the other pain in the ass. Samsung... on their demo Windows 8 machines that they showed off a couple weeks ago, showed off their own Windows 8 start menu replacement. They call it Start Menu. And because people want the Start Menu. But there's actually one that you can download right now from Stardock, the makers of fine games like Sins of a Solar Empire and Demigod. They actually got their money from Windows Blinds and all those other, you know, dock replacement things. You can download something that actually adds the Start Menu.
I don't like those things.
Back into Windows 8.
I don't like those shell.
It's not a shell replacement.
I don't like things that tie into Windows at a shell level because they don't behave in the way you expect them to do, and they usually fail just when you need them.
You should try out the Windows 8.
Not interested.
Okay.
Drinking the Kool-Aid.
I will try it, and I will not use the
modern
start screen.
Modern live tiles.
I will live my Windows 8 without ever trying to see the start screen.
After a brief flirtation with having my PC downstairs on the big screen, which was great, I've moved it back upstairs now.
You're back in a real PC game?
Yeah, because all the home theater aspects of it, I now just get through Mountain Lion AirPlay.
Mm. If
I need to throw something up on the screen. And as much as it was nice to play on the big screen with a controller, a lot of mouse keyboard games, I never found a satisfactory
position
setup
for mouse and keyboard. Yeah, mouse and keyboard.
Tried laying things across the armchair. It was never comfortable for me. I missed being at my desk.
Mouse and keyboard's just bad.
Yeah, so I moved it all back upstairs and started playing some Steam games again. And great. Loving it.
Endless Space is real good.
I've been playing Sniper Elite V2.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Is that the head explodey one?
It's the one where as you shoot people, like you get the X-ray slow motion of all their organs being destroyed. Yeah. You can shoot them in the nuts. It's great.
Yeah. That's the first thing you mentioned, of course.
Once I realized that you could shoot in the nuts, that's all I ever did.
Box. I had this guy like a 5-minute conversation with Lloyd on Twitter where I'd say, oh, Sniper Elite. And he goes, oh, I didn't like it very much. The resolution, the textures, blah, 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 anti-aliasing. I was like, you could shoot Nazis in the nuts with X-ray vision. And he went, yes, but blah, 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 blah. And I'm just right. You can shoot Nazis in the nuts with X-ray vision. Like, this point was not getting through to him. I think it was a pretty critical point. I will forgive a lot if you can do shit like that. And I'm very excited about some of the stuff that I saw at PAX. I was quite jealous, Will, as you know, of some of those uber hardcore rigs that they
had.
You
do this every year.
I know. I see those crazy, crazy rigs.
Yeah.
That are running
lit, water cooled.
Well, no, I mean, to some extent, I get off on the crazy case design, but I also get off on the fact that when they're running the ultra hardware, just looking at the performance, like my PC has pretty decent performance.
But
it's a mid-range PC at best, and you're looking at some of these rigs that are running insanely high-resolution games, and these GPUs are just fucking chewing up those frames like so smooth like butter. I'm like, oh, I want a PC like that.
Yeah, but they're nice.
They're expensive though.
They are expensive.
But I do like to. It's like looking at Italian sports cars or something. Going, oh.
Well, a lot of times when you go to PAX or something like that, and you see the crazy high frame rate and all that stuff, what you're really seeing is that they have the mouse DPI set crazy high.
Oh, that reminds me. Do you have the super good ambidextrous gaming mouse? Because I may be interested in looking at that.
I do.
Okay. I may take that off your hands.
Yes. The Razer Taipan.
Okay.
Yes. I actually quite like it. So.
Okay. Because that's what sucks for me is all those high-end mice,
yeah.
Left-handed people get shat on.
Yeah.
So speaking of getting shat on, Valve was getting into the computer hardware business.
Now, hold on. Haven't we heard this before?
They did, but then they actually jumped into – they have a job listing. And they specifically said, you know, computer hardware, they're looking to innovate where there has been no innovation in the keyboard and mouse world.
Phantom.
For years.
Phantom.
Yeah, Phantom didn't go anywhere.
Well, keyboard and mouse are pretty
nice. The lap board. People like the lap board, but that still didn't go anywhere. It was always just a novelty
item. VR. I have one someplace.
So what are they going to do? Oculus Rift?
I think they're going to do something like that.
I think they're going to do both. I think they're going to innovate in the keyboard mouse control scheme, and I think that we'll probably see some sort of augmented reality, virtual reality glasses.
All right. Well, Valve, you know, one of those companies that I'm optimistic about anything.
They have too much money, and they can do whatever they want.
They have crazy money, and they can do whatever they want.
Howard Hughes crazy.
Yeah. And they're also in the game publishing business now as well.
It takes crazy to innovate.
You got to think different.
It's the crazy ones.
Here's the crazy ones.
Boy. HBO launched a streaming-only service in Scandinavia, I think.
Only
Norway
in Scandinavia.
Like
now, this is what people have been wanting for a long time, is the a la carte service. So even though there have been many, many articles about why the business model would not support that.
It cannot work. Not even HBO, but for cable channels in general. And you can actually thank ESPN for a lot of that. ESPN charges, I think, the highest carrier
I don't
charge.
Want ESPN. I'm cool with not paying for that.
Oh, you know what I hate the most is like when you're watching like airplane TV or any kind of like – hotel television where you've got to kind of like pay through the channels the old-fashioned way is when you get into the ESPN block, and I don't care about American sports.
Like
ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, ESPN3, ESPN News, ESPN College, and it goes on and on and on. Like, who fucking likes sports that much?
I can't tell you the last time I turned TV on at a hotel.
Ugh.
I always turn the TV on. I have such a hard time watching commercials at this point.
You know what I liked about being in Hawaii?
Because the first channel you get is that main menu that tells you the resort information.
Well, so like that's what I loved about being – I knew I was in a good place. I'd never been to Hawaii before. But I arrived in Honolulu. First thing I did, of course, is go to the room, turn on the TV, see what's on TV.
What? And
God damn it, Gary.
They had the resort channel. They had 8 resort channels.
Because it took
so you could see all the things that you weren't doing when you're sitting in the hotel room watching the fucking TV.
Channels to explain all the amazing things you could be doing in Hawaii right now.
Was it a loop video or was it like menus?
There was different. Here's all our restaurants. They were like the Vegas has as well. They have several channels. They have the gambling channel, the show channel. Yeah. But honestly, this Hawaii hotel, because it was the resort. Like various different channels for all the things, all the different restaurants in the resort, all the different activities, and then all the things you could do, obviously, like go hiking, take a catamaran somewhere.
Go to the top of Mount Haleakala.
Yeah, so many different things.
That's such an idiocracy thing to sit there in your hotel room looking at people.
Well, for an
going
hour
hiking.
To figure out the
for
things
an
that you actually
hour?
Well, you, to figure
for
all the,
an hour?
Well, because if you're there for like, let's say you're in vacation for like a week.
It's not going to kill you to watch
for an hour and then figure out all the things that you want to do.
You go to the concierge front desk and then you say, I can get the
information more quickly from the TV.
It
took me almost an hour just to page through the channels. But what I also liked, and this is how you know you're in a great place, is when you're watching the local TV news. And the TV news anchor is a massive dude in a Hawaiian shirt. And when they throw to the weather is basically just the surfing report. That's all they bother to tell you. They just go straight to the surfing. Because they go, yep, it's like Steve Martin. And they're like, sorry, yep, the weather is awesome. Let's talk about the surfing. The surfing conditions is the only variable.
See, you've never lived in England where they have terrible weather, but
yes.
Like when I moved here from the East Coast, just San Francisco even, it's like, wow, the weatherman here has the easiest job in the world because it's always cold on the coast and it's always hot as hell inland. And the only question is it going to be foggy or not?
It always bums me out because they have to throw up those different weather numbers for inland and coast.
And it's always nice.
And I go, oh, look, it's going to be nice this weekend. Oh, shit, wait, that's the inland number. The coastal number right there is shitty.
In any direction, and then I want to cut myself.
Yep.
Okay.
So, what were we talking about?
HBO streaming. Why it doesn't work?
That was a good little.
That was amazing. Yeah, that was crazy.
HBO in Scandinavia, they're allowing people to pay. I think it's like $12 a month just to get the streaming. Now,
that's all I want.
HBO Go, but they do have streaming on the website.
So it's not. It's not on demand. Does that mean it's just whatever's on the channel at the time?
It's
you can watch whatever you want.
Yes,
okay.
Unfortunately, people do need to divorce themselves from the idea that they're ever going to get HBO a la carte. It's not going to happen.
I think they need to divorce themselves from the idea that they can get any type of channel on demand.
Unless it's type of...
A lot can change in 10 years,
Hulu
guys.
Type of service.
Yeah, it could change. It's not going to happen anytime soon. HBO Go is still a great service. The audio sync issues are annoying me. Why haven't they not fixed that yet?
I don't have any idea. I have that problem every night. Maybe it's a San Francisco problem because I can't... I stopped watching The Newsroom because of the...
Well, yeah, well, I wanted to watch The Newsroom and I couldn't watch it on HBO Go. I found them all on Comcast On Demand instead.
I like Comcast On Demand over HBO Go.
Yeah.
Bitrate's better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still on the TiVo. Let's see, what else do we have? Video copyright hassles. This is an interesting story. So the Hugo Awards were happening in Chicago at Worldcon last week, and the official promoters of the show had an official Hugo Awards live stream that was on Ustream. And during the course of the broadcast, they ran clips from some of the movies or TV shows
that were
nominated.
Right.
And as a result, Ustream's automated copyright violation software pulled the entire stream, killed it, nobody could watch for the rest of the show.
So they actually have like algorithms that look just for like copyrighted
YouTube.
Content. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like YouTube. Except for this happens.
They should have
live.
Mirrored it like they do on YouTube,
or have an audio desync issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other one that happened is the London Olympic stuff. I don't know what this story is about.
No, someone talk about the London Olympics.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, you could watch the Avengers mirrored, right? All those characters are symmetrical, basically. I don't think it would be a problem.
Thor.
It's not like Captain America has Captain America written across the show. It's just a star. It's totally symmetrical.
And it would work for you.
If he was flipped, you wouldn't know.
Because all the heroes will be left-handed. It's like Gary Universe.
Yeah, I'd be like, my genius. Oh, my God. Like Tony Stark's left-handed now. This is the version of
Thor holds the hammer in his left hand.
And maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll flip it and watch the left-handed Avengers.
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
Why would you not do that?
Did you enjoy the London Olympics, Gary?
I did.
I don't think we talked about
it. I enjoyed
them
immensely. And in fact, it made me homesick for London for the first time in many years. I haven't been homesick for London for a long time. And it did make me want to go back to England for a bit.
Take the kid home, see the motherland.
Yeah, in the new year, I think we may take a trip. Take a trip back to London.
Victory tour?
Yeah.
Did you guys see that picture on Reddit the other day of the guy who was on Tower Bridge when they were bringing the Olympic rings down, the ones that folded down when the bridge came up? They'd cleared the bridge to remove the things, and he did this panorama of one side of the bridge to the other side of the bridge with the rings in the middle. It was a gorgeous photograph.
Because the rings were lifted up.
Right.
Yeah, that's good. There's an AP photograph. It's great where they got them full moon in the
ring?
The sixth ring.
Oh, that's cool. What did you think about Barack Obama doing a Reddit AMA?
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Was the content any good?
Because I didn't really see it.
He answered 10 questions.
Okay.
Reddit posted their traffic. I think they had like 2 million visits per hour at that point.
Right. Was it like the biggest
crazy.
Thing they've ever
they,
done?
They knew in advance it was going to happen. Someone else had the Barack Obama, President Barack Obama username, and they took it away from him.
Right.
They hadn't logged in for years.
Right.
And they'd worked with the White House offices, PR offices, obviously, to score like this. They added like 30% more servers. Still couldn't handle the load. The president's answers were very, their form.
Measured.
Answers. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was always going to be kind of a bit of fluff, really.
Yeah, there was some controversy later on because they thought one of the questions was a plant because it was a girl who had created a new account just 2 hours before.
Yeah.
And she had worked at DOJ. But it turned out someone reached out and she just didn't know her password and created a new account.
I mean, were there any interesting questions and answers?
Not really.
Okay.
It
was like watching the president come on Letterman.
The worst part was that because with Reddit and when they do the AMAs, they have a photo to verify. Like if it's a celebrity, they'll post a photo of themselves saying hi Reddit or something.
Right.
And this photo was just Barack Obama sitting at a computer. Like,
yeah, he's not going to be holding up a thing.
No, there was no cat in the background.
Right.
No,
shoe on head.
Barack Obama with a shoe on his head would have been a sight to see.
Exactly. That would have gotten.
It was still kind of weird to see him sitting in just like a shitty office with a laptop.
I think he was on Air Force One.
It seemed like it was.
I think even Air Force One looks more impressive than that. Yeah, it looked like he was in just a bad office.
Pretty sure he was in a hotel. Like in a hotel,
it was like 30
minutes. Workspace in a hotel.
And it was good. There was actually him, not just like he wasn't like dictating answers to some intern. Well, for the picture,
yes, for the picture,
he probably was.
I'm pretty sure he was dictating it, and someone was like grammatically checking everything,
right,
and reading the answers over.
at the end, to finish off his last question, he goes, and if you ask, I got to go get dinner with my family now because I never miss family, you know, dinner with Michelle and the kids.
Of course.
And, you know, and if anyone asks what I think about this Reddit business, not bad, which is the Barack Obama meme when he goes, not bad.
Yeah, the frowny face from not the bad. England thing.
So,
he actually kind of referenced the meme?
He referenced the meme. Which,
but clearly one of his meme advisors told him to say that, right? He's not
that
actually.
That is the yes. official end of, we talked about this last week, the end of that meme. Because when Barack Obama uses his own meme on Reddit,
that is the terminus point for the meme.
Yeah. That is it.
Wait, that's all you have to do to kill a meme?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Well, Chuck Norris saying all those Chuck Norris things didn't kill it.
Yeah, yeah, Chuck. Who
did it?
Chuck,
I guess that's kind of
Chuck Norris is already dead by then.
Yeah,
yeah. Chuck Norris crazy.
Once it's adopted by the mainstream, it's no longer
cool. Like we said last week, when Rick Ashley came out,
Astley,
yeah. And Rick rolled
when he did it at the Thanksgiving Day parade. That was the end of that.
Yeah. Yes. When my mom sent me a lolcat.
What about when Exhibit said the whole car in your car thing annoyed him? Is that the end of that?
He has to embrace it. If it annoys him, then it's even
better. That just powers it up more. It's like, we've got to do more of
when,
this.
When Kayla, what's her name, the gymnast, did the thing on the Today Show and was frowny.
Yeah, the frown face thing.
She ran that into the ground in like a week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Memes have short life.
So what was this about lolcats?
Oh, there was
somebody should have asked the president, what's your favorite lolcat?
I'm sure someone did ask, and he just chose
Yeah, just didn't
answer.
Get through.
Did you see Henry II?
So there's a...
Henry
II,
what?
In the lolcat, or the cat, like...
Well, International Cat Film Festival.
Brilliant. 10,000 people attended in person.
In Wisconsin or someplace, right? Minnesota.
Cat videos. The People's Choice Award went to Henri II, French cat video.
Okay. What's good about that cat?
The best.
Oh my God, it's fantastic.
Arguably the best internet cat video.
What's good about it?
It is a cat's lament.
Right. It was one of those things that I saw it on Boing Boing or something. I was like, I don't know. And then I watched it. And I was like, oh, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
Okay, I'll look it up when I get
it's
home.
It's untested.
It is pretty great.
Did they give Maru a Lifetime Achievement Award?
Maru should deserve a Lifetime Achievement
Award. And so here's the thing with Internet Cats. Wired had this feature article, not just like a mini feature, a full feature article.
Like a magazine feature.
Magazine feature article about the phenomenon of Internet Cats. And did you realize Maru, of course you got to reference Maru, who's 5 years old.
The god of all Internet Cats.
Yes. Maru, no one knows who the owner is.
Right.
Really?
It never appeared in the videos.
The writer of this article spent months reaching out to publishers of Maru as a book. The U.S. publisher.
Oh, is this the thing where it came from, like, I can't get you Maru, but I can get you up-and-coming cats? Is that where that came from? Okay.
And you can't...
Logan
was tweeting something about, like... Some interview with like a cat talent manager.
Yeah. Oh no, there.
Or he was saying if you wanted Maru to be in your video, like, I can't get you Maru. No one can get you Maru, but I can get you some up and coming.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Maru,
some up and coming viral video.
Is more
cat.
Reclusive. The Maru's owner is more reclusive than like J.D. Salinger. Like,
wow. But that just makes it even more compelling.
Oh my God, I never wanted to know anything more.
Yeah. Like if you landed an interview with the Maru's owner, that would be
but
the internet sensation.
You don't want an interview with Maru's owner. You want an interview with Maru.
Right.
A conversation with Maru.
And also, I kind of don't want the illusion to be burst. It's more interesting that it's
apparently what the owner says is that they don't want to be in the spotlight because that could give Maru stage fright. And Maru needs to be in his environment.
Right.
Well, Maru is kind of a prima donna, it sounds like.
But the article then went on to interview other famous cats.
For example,
the whole culture,
like Calvin?
No, there's this...
Or Hobbs, I guess.
I'm not aware of any... I can't name any other internet cats.
It's all in Japan. They're all from Japan. And it went into this deep psychological analysis of why internet cats come from Japan. Like, what is it about Japanese culture, the anonymity?
Apart from Maru, I didn't realize it was a Japanese thing.
There's so
massive,
many.
Massive, yeah.
And there are these family of cats, a band of cats. And the owner made them sing a Christmas song. 2 million views on YouTube. They got signed to a label, a music label. And they went this whole thing where the executives went and met the owners and offered the cats fish, and the cats signed the contract with their paw.
Wow!
And the owners ate the fish.
Fucking Japan.
But lolcats is an American phenomenon.
Yes, lolcats, and it went into this whole thing of the psychological.
Well, lolcats came from 4chan, didn't they? So it's not necessarily an American phenomenon.
4chan is.
It is. I think a million years from now, when aliens arrive and look over the ruins of our civilization. That they will identify this era in much the same way as we now look at ancient Egypt as like an age of cat worship. It's like, why did they worship these creatures?
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people. Look at the
Time Magazine.
Gigabytes of data we found.
Dog people.
Time Magazine had this quote,
analyzing lolcats and the cat phenomenon and saying, we like cats because cat videos, because it puts cats, otherwise a proud animal, in an uncompromising position where they are embarrassed in the privacy of their own home. Because cats are very proud.
Cats have dignity. Cats are the Frasers of the animal world.
Yeah, but when left to their own devices, when no one's watching.
Right. And that's why some of the most amusing lolcat videos are things like where they try to jump and fall and things like that, and they're embarrassed.
Or when they're stuffed in their, the burritos and the
or
tubes.
Or stuck in the ceiling. Yes. Or,
Yeah, because they are a noble creature.
Or they're just asking for a cheeseburger.
Cats humiliated, basically.
The white idiot is
I also didn't realize it. In Japan and in Korea, there are cat cafes. Where you can pay per hour to pet cats. And the cats are, they have Twitter accounts.
They're whore cats.
But Maru doesn't really conform to that idea. Like, Maru just does awesome stuff. Maru doesn't get embarrassed.
No. Maru doesn't know that he's getting embarrassed. Maybe that's why if Maru ever met his fans, he would be shy.
Maru is the fucking Marlon Brando of cats.
And it's amazing, isn't it, that Maru has no idea that he's famous. No,
where does
no
Boo idea. Fit into this? Is Boo is,
Boo is a dog.
Do we know where Boo's owners Boo's, are?
We don't want to talk. I dislike Boo.
You don't like Boo?
Yeah, and I'm usually much more of a dog person than a cat person, but I don't like
Boo's
Boo.
Pretty cute, man.
No.
Even Chloe likes Boo.
Okay. Fair enough.
I bet Huey likes Boo. Boo's a boy, right?
Boo is a boy.
Okay.
Indeed.
I tell you what, you know what you should get? You ought to do this at some point.
Okay, you mean to find Maru's owner? I know,
because I've been traveling a lot recently. I've got a lot of these stories. You've really got to get the most recent Skymour catalog and order some of that shit, because they just don't fucking care anymore.
Oh, it's
shit they're coming up with now in Skymour is off the chain.
For example?
How about a solar-powered Queen Elizabeth II and with companion Corgi?
Really?
Yeah.
Solar powered?
Yeah.
What does it do? What does the power make it do?
I think she does this.
Does she jump out of an airplane?
Her hand waves and the dog's head nods.
And it's solar powered. So you put it outside like a lawn gnome.
Yeah.
Wow.
What else did they have that was ridiculous? Well, they always have those kind of bad robotic head massagers. Oh, there's
a
great
crossword.
They have iPad waterproof skins you can put on. It has a great image of like a businessman in a business suit diving into the ocean, trying to protect his iPad from falling into the ocean. It's like, I was looking at the picture going like, what? I was trying to kind of reverse engineer this. Like, what is supposed to be going on here?
Like somebody's playing Frisbee with his iPad and he had to chase after it.
Like the businessman went down to the beach in his business suit and someone grabbed his iPad and tossed it into the ocean. And he leaps like a goalkeeper into the ocean trying to protect it because he hasn't put this special skin on it. It's just, the Skymour catalog is brilliant. I never get tired of reading it.
Because it's as good as that Skymour catalog, which the cover was Santa Claus
on an airplane. It's this guy. It's this beach business suit.
That's the cover.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Lead art.
Because the cover, the one I love, is where they're on an airplane and Santa Claus is there because it's a Christmas issue.
Yeah.
And the kid in the airplane is reading the very issue of Skymour that you're holding
Inception.
In your hands.
Wow. How many iterations down could you go?
Deep.
That is pretty amazing.
Because in that, you could see the other Skymour again.
That always breaks my brain when I see that stuff.
The only problem with the Virgin is that there's no Skymour.
That is a problem.
They think they have a perk.
The seat back store.
It. Yeah.
But it's not.
That is a problem. Yeah. But I do love the Skymour catalog. Every now and again, I get in danger when I see something. It's like, that's actually not half bad. And I almost want to order it up.
You know, I love crossword puzzles. Why don't I get a wall-sized crossword puzzle?
I did the latest. I did order a product off TV recently.
Oh, no. Hmm.
I got the old Brooklyn Lantern.
What is the Brooklyn Lantern?
Don't fish around for flashlights in the dark when you have a power cut, because they never work and batteries are no good. But get this. It's like an old... like an old lantern.
Like an old man lantern?
Yeah, like an old man, like an old man lantern. But it has, it's LED lights with a dimmer switch.
What?
And it's great.
No,
I use it now for late night baby feedings. And somehow I got upsold into buying three of them because three of them showed up.
Well, bring one over. We'll quick look at it.
I've got two still in the box.
What do you mean somehow you got upsold? Do you not remember buying it?
Here's what they do. They say, buy it now, only $12.99. And you go on the website and it says, but are you sure you wouldn't like the super duper version, which is more expensive? And you can add another one onto your order for only $10 more. And you can also get this and this. And
so somehow
your $12.99 order has actually cost you like $80.
Oh, my goodness.
But it is a very good thing to have around the house. It is better.
Or you could just have a flashlight with good batteries.
But it's better than the flashlight because you can just set it down and it lights up the whole room as opposed to, like, what do you do with a flashlight?
Point at the ceiling.
And again, we use it because it has a dimmer switch and the lowest setting is actually, like, really dim. It's perfect for middle-of-the-night baby feedings where you want just enough light to see what you're doing but not enough that it's bright in the room or, like,
Or you can know where the lights are in your house.
But again, those lights are super bright.
You don't have a dimmer?
We do, but it's still, even the dimmest setting is pretty bright.
Okay.
So right, I'm a fan.
What was the last thing before that you bought on TV? Because I used to tempt myself watching later night.
I think it might have been the Orgreenic frying pan.
No,
which was pretty
decent. Don't buy kitchenware.
No, it was pretty good.
Like the slap chop.
Every time I go in the slap chop. We didn't buy a slap chop. I have bought so much crap off TV over the years, though. Those infomercials. I always felt like I could be an infomercial actor.
Well, because not the host, but the guy.
No, I'd be very good as the host because they seem to like using British people for those hosts.
Yeah, it's just an air of credibility.
If you're going to be in an infomercial, you basically have to only be able to do three emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Disappointed,
yeah.
Frustration at like frustrated with old fashioned can openers, and you're like, this stupid can opener. Like, can openers can hurt you. Oh, ow, my finger. You have to basically look like this product is the worst product ever, and like it's really dangerous and bad. Like, I hate this product so much. Oh, there's got to be a better way. But wait, there is. And then
magic pops up in your hand.
Well, and here's the thing, if you're in that kind of infomercial, you only need the third emotion. Which is the, I'm so delighted by this new version of the product, which is so easy to use that you've offered to me. It's like, oh, this is so much better. Look, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's basic information. If you're going to be in one of those, have you done those ones where they have like, it's a whole presentation where they have like the family around?
Like a panel.
Yeah.
Like they did one for the Magic Bullet. It was a bunch of people like having a party at this guy's house.
Oh, yeah, the Magic Bullet.
That thing's really a piece of shit, too.
So you have to, so it has to be frustrated. Like, oh, this old salad chopper is terrible.
But you're skeptical.
Yeah. That's the missing link. You've got to have skepticism. No one product can do all what you're saying.
Making baby food. I don't believe it.
It chops salad, applies the dressing, and cooks it all in 10 minutes? No product can do all of those things.
How much
things.
Does this cost?
And for only $4.99?
No.
Nonsense. Way. And then the guy does it. And then that's when you do that. That's amazing. Actually does all these things. Where can I buy one? So, yeah, as long as you can do those three emotions, you can be in infomercials. I've often thought about doing it.
Gary, are we still talking about your lantern?
Well, it's kind of I'm going to bring the lantern in for you.
Okay.
And but it has these ranges. It has the don't fumble around in the dark for flashlights. And the guy's like fumbling around and like he can't find his flashlight.
Ow, I stabbed
myself. And the batteries never work. And the guy's going like, stupid battery. Oh, does the whole thing. And then it goes to the Brooklyn.
Hands on the hips. Grimace is really the one, right?
Yeah.
Little vibrating
battery.
Head.
Yeah. And then the Brooklyn lantern comes in and everyone's, it's like it's so good. Because clearly
this is like what death carries, just to be clear,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like
one of those.
Scythe, Brooklyn Lantern.
Look it up right now. It's old with an E, because that's authentic. Oldiebrooklynlantern.com.
Is it the old THY
and it says, it's made
it's
of
the fourth thing
it's made,
after
of
old.
Made of genuine metal. And
genuine metal.
Wow.
Metal.
And it's like
bismuth.
Authentic antique glass. I don't know what that means. Antique actually means like it's really old. But
no, it probably means it's antiqued. So they've treated it to appear as though it were antique.
Oh, so there it is.
It looks modern.
Yeah, it looks quite
vintage
modern.
Style.
Yeah, so let's show Will a picture of it. And as you can see there. It has
so does it not use batteries?
No, it uses 2D batteries.
Well, how can they talk shit about batteries and other flashlights if that thing uses batteries?
I don't know. Apparently batteries in flashlights die out. Batteries don't die out in this thing. It's good for 10,000 hours.
100,000 hours.
100,000 hours.
D batteries paired with LEDs
you're right,
go a long
it is $12.99.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So,
I feel like I should get one of these.
This lady looks
yeah,
so happy.
It's great. I'm going to keep one in the car
these
for
old people also.
And one for power cuts. It's great.
Does it have a reflector so you don't blind yourself with it?
In the commercial.
Gary.
Well, it has a dimmer switch.
Open flames are very
but
dangerous.
But what if you hold it up here, isn't the light going to come back and blast in your eyes and
no,
kill your
because
night
I
vision?
Think the light is kind of diffused by the glass in some way.
I don't think that's the way it works.
This family can play board games.
I like board games.
When power's out.
Like, that's the thing. In the people in the commercial are obviously so taken with it that they're cooking, they're doing other things that clearly they're powerful. They've just like turned off all the lights in the house so they can have the old Brooklyn lantern.
Sounds pretty awesome to me.
Yeah. It's a good product.
It's one of the things
that I bought off.
See the difference.
Look at that crappy flashlight. Look at the light coming off of that.
What they should do is have a third
one. You should
one
do
there.
One. Bring it in here, turn all the lights off, and you can do a test.
We compare it to candles and have the third house burning down.
Yeah.
Teach people an important lesson about candles.
I liked
safety.
It. I thought it was a good product. And it's going to be available in stores as well.
Fantastic.
So I was quite pleased with that.
Oh my goodness, Gary.
I buy all this crap off the TV. I've got so many crappy products that I bought off TV.
Yeah, me too.
So
I threw out two
occasionally
slinkets.
Every now and again, I buy all the crap because every now and again, one of them is really good. Oh, now I tell you what the last thing that I bought was the Instahang. It's like that staple gun for the wall.
Oh, that thing's terrible.
Pictures. No, it was all right. I've
it just makes holes in your walls.
Well, yeah, that yes, that's what it's supposed to do.
The worst one is the one that's a coat hook for the walls. You just grind it into the mortar, and then it drops. Oh,
the
and
perfect
then it,
hook. I do oh, want the so one bad. The one that they have now. It's called the super sticky, or it's like a roller. It's like a lint roller.
Okay,
but it doesn't. You don't peel off the paper. You just rinse it off, and
no,
it's super
paper,
sticky.
Peeling off that's the paper lets you
sticky
see.
Sticky buddy, the sticky buddy.
See you all, lets you see all the lint and that, the grime you're getting off your
Remember those
shirt.
Things you used to get and you'd throw them at glass and they'd kind of walk down the sticky
yeah,
those
worms,
things?
Yeah.
That's what your super sticky is. It's not. It's only going to stick twice, and then it'll just be a useless kind of
no,
jelly.
No, you can use it over and over. They said it on
understand.
TV.
That.
You can't say that on TV if it's not true.
Okay.
There's American laws.
Clearly that's true based on this season's political campaigns.
Well, speaking of fires and lanterns, oh, fire is more likely.
Wow, nicely done.
So Amazon has stopped selling the Kindle Fire. They're sold out.
Wow. What, hold on. That segue gave me whiplash. What happened there?
Is this an opportunity?
Speaking of fires from candles that may burn down your house, Amazon has stopped selling the Fire. Okay, I'll go with it.
Yeah, he was a little late. He should have cut off before he started talking about the worm.
I could not stop.
Yeah, you should have got in early.
Yeah.
But, okay, so they've stopped selling the Fire because Fire 2 is
expecting the Kindle Fire 2 to come out.
Can we talk about how much the Nexus 7 just fucking trounced the Kindle Fire?
Oh, yeah.
Nexus 7's good.
I don't know what the Kindle Fire could do, even at a low price point, to make me not want to use Nexus 7 or use that instead of a Nexus 7.
Well, because it's still going to be this kind of fork-specific, basically a fancy Amazon shop.
Unless it's free, which they can't do. The economics don't work on that, even if it's ad-driven. They cannot
free with Prime.
Free with Prime, they could maybe
super Prime.
Free with Prime would actually be pretty sweet.
Getting people on Prime is the best. You know why Prime works?
Because all they want to do is get you into their ecosystem.
Prime works because I don't think of like Prime streaming, live streaming. Even though Amazon is getting better selection of movies. I don't think of that as the feature for Prime. I'm getting the free shipping.
Yeah, but you get it all. Yeah. Think about the deal you get for $79. Or let's say they do a special Super Prime $99 version that includes the tablet. So you get the tablet.
So you pay $20 more, you get this web tablet.
You get the web tablet. You get all the Prime video that you can watch on it.
Which they just added a whole bunch of stuff.
And you get your free video and you get your free shipping.
Yeah. On September 1, they added a ton of stuff to Prime Video, too.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Yeah, it's all – remember a few months ago when you couldn't watch any of the Marvel movies? They're all there now.
Yeah, I love it. I watched Blue Hawaii.
The Elvis movie?
Yeah, I felt like watching an Elvis movie.
Okay.
God, they were terrible.
Why does anyone ever feel like watching an Elvis movie?
I just
felt
like
bad.
I felt like it, and I didn't remember how bad they were.
No, he couldn't act.
Yeah, they were terrible.
He just sang. Eddie Murphy nailed it. He sang the lines.
Just sang everything. Yeah.
So
we're going to win this race?
You know what's amazing is that it's nice to be – it must have been great to be a star of that level. Because, I mean, you know, we talk about like – Will Smith and Brad Pitt and Johnny Depp was good, but I don't think it was anyone ever as big as Elvis was in his day.
Michael Jackson,
like Blue
no,
Hawaii,
he never acted.
Do you know what the pitch for Blue? I'm making this up, but as I would imagine it, what the pitch for Blue Hawaii was, it was Elvis saying, "I want to do a movie in Hawaii," and that's it.
Right.
And suddenly they're in Hawaii making a movie.
Yeah, same thing happened with the Beatles too. Some of those Beatles movies are not good either.
Some are, but some are actually good.
I've never seen which one was good.
Yellow Submarine's good.
I probably never saw Yellow Submarine. I saw A Hard Day's Night or something like that.
Help.
Help. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't imagine the going to Hawaii with Elvis to shoot a movie.
So here's the thing.
Did they even go to Hawaii?
Unlike Will Smith.
Well, I mean, look at Ocean's 11.
Elvis.
Ocean's 11
is an ad for Vegas.
Well,
yeah.
But the original one with Sammy Davis Jr. and Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and those guys.
The Rat Pack.
The whole idea was that those guys would play their Vegas Rat Pack act in the casinos every night, and they needed something to do during the day. So they shot that movie during the day while they were in Vegas. That's how it got made. Fantastic.
And same thing. Back then, musicians acted on the side, didn't give up their music, unlike Will Smith, who gave up his music to act because there was more money there.
But some people try to do both.
It's very difficult to do both.
Like J-Lo is still, I guess, kind of doing both.
J-Lo is...
I don't think she's doing either, really.
One movie.
She's been in several movies.
Gina really likes that Wedding Planner movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, I know.
Oh, my God.
I just want to get that out there.
She was good in that movie about Gia.
The Soderbergh movie she was awesome in.
The movie about...
Oh, yeah. Out of Sight. Very good. Very good movie.
Out of Sight is very good.
Yeah.
Yes.
That and now good. She's doing all these club bangers.
I don't know what that means.
Neither do
I'm
I. Just
moving
it sounded like something that young people say.
Kindle Fire.
I thought I'd run it out there. See
no.
YOLO. Kindle Fire. What are they going to do?
I don't think I. Hopefully, improve the OS by a lot.
But better the question screen. Is: the question is though, is the whole concept of it fundamentally flawed going up against fully featured tablets?
No, because I think they can make a product that there are people that are really comfortable inside that ecosystem. It's for them.
No, I think that's right. I think it's good. Look, we've always said before that tablets are essentially consumption devices. With Surface and going forward, they may turn into more productivity devices. What, the tablet? You've never heard that said?
No, people have said that, but I don't think we've said that.
I've said it.
I've said it.
You just haven't said it because you're always the contrarian.
That's true.
The fact that you haven't said it just makes it more true.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they are primarily consumption devices.
Wait,
and the Kindle Fire is always like just an even more tightly focused consumption device.
Yeah. Having that Nexus 7 for months now, I use it more than my iPad.
You're using your iPad right now.
I know, because I'm charging the
Nexus 7. I would have bought one already by now if I wasn't waiting to see what the iPad mini will be.
Gmail, Gtalk. If you're using Google services,
I do use Google services.
So much better.
And having real Nexus Chrome. 7.
I don't use Gtalk, but I do use Gmail.
Gtalk on iOS,
and I use Google Drive.
Real Chrome. Real Chrome is all that matters.
Yeah, browser device browser tab syncing.
Yeah, I like it. I like the Google.
Chris, you can use Real Chrome on iPad now. I've been doing that lately too.
So
4K TVs versus 4K monitors, or do you want to talk about Fire more?
I don't want to talk about it.
We don't know anything about it other than the fact that they've suspended the first one probably means a new one's coming soon. And doesn't Amazon actually have a dated event coming up very soon?
New York sometime, I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
So it may just be a rumor.
The invites went out.
Okay.
Amazon saying, we are going to announce something here.
Excellent.
Don't you run a tech site? You're supposed to know this stuff.
Science, tech, and art.
Okay.
4K TVs, this CES, I think we're going to see so many 4K TVs. I think...
What resolution is a 4K TV, Norm?
3,860 by 2560.
So it's really 3.8K.
It's close enough to 4K.
Because we're using horizontal lines all of a sudden. So what we currently have are 1K TVs.
1.9.
So one of these actually going to be in stores?
1.1K.
And by stores, I mean the internet.
This holiday season.
But isn't that way too early? Like, we're just now getting comfortable with Blu-ray and 3D and the current wave of technology
and
high def.
It's true. That's why.
Where's the content going to come from?
The content will be first upconverted stuff, and then there will be some dedicated 4K stuff. It's not going to be over satellite or cable.
I will not be adopting it.
I will
not
be buying a 4K TV this year.
No.
But
that'd be madness.
If there was a 4K computer monitor,
now
I would be on that in a heartbeat. Did you read the story?
I would buy 4K.
I've seen rumors, and I don't think this is going to happen anytime soon, but there were rumors that one of the reasons why the new iMacs are taking a long time to refresh is that they'll have those super high def, quote unquote, retina displays, which would be in the 4K region.
Would be exactly that 4K resolution using the same pixel density.
But there's no way the economics of that makes sense.
Why not?
I thought that was
because
refuted.
The biggest retina screen right now is what, 15 inches?
Right, but that's a huge jump. But the pixel density is much higher on that, the 15-inch on the MacBook Pro Retina. We're talking about a 27 because you sit further away, and Retina.
It
wouldn't have to be as high.
Okay,
Retina means whatever it needs to mean, Gary.
Exactly, Retina just means that at whatever Apple thinks is normal viewing distance, you cannot see the pixels.
I'm still rocking a 2009 iMac, and it's starting to show its age, and I'm so ready. And Leah really wants to upgrade her computer as well, so we're both like sitting here with our credit cards going, Apple, where are the iMacs?
So, you know when the new Apple, when the iPhone 5 rumors came out, the screen, the 1136 by 640, which most people think is the resolution of the new screen,
mm-hmm.
right? The reason that makes sense is because it's the same pixel density as the iPhone 4S.
Okay.
And they just added more pixels, so it's recutting the LCD panels.
Right.
So that's the way you make big sheets of LCD.
Right. And you cut them to size.
Yeah, they don't come out as 3.5 inch. They come out as a big one, and then you cut them down. And as long as your sheets have, are fabbed in a way
that
you don't have
dead
pixels, you can cut more.
Right.
Someone did the math, and based on the pixel density of the iPhone 3GS, which is what people assume the new iPad mini will be using, that same screen, but cut to 7.85 inches. If you cut that up to 27 inches, you get, at 27 inches, you get a 4K screen.
Now, of course, again, the other issue, of course, is you would need very, very powerful
GPU
to drive a native resolution of that scale.
You can do that.
Well, only desktop's no problem. Games are a problem.
Yeah, games would be a problem, and they'd use fancy scaling.
Well, and also for other things that would be attractive to people that would want that
video
kind of screen.
Rendering,
well,
if
video rendering, you know, aperture.
The current GPUs can do multi-monitors.
Notebook GPUs, no problem.
Yeah, no problem. It's okay. just like you can do two 1920 by 1080, 1200 monitors.
I think the larger issue is that the desktop chipsets for Ivy Bridge aren't done yet.
What do you mean desktop chipsets
for Ivy
Bridge?
I think that the desktop chipsets for Ivy Bridge aren't.
So for iMacs.
Yeah, but iMacs basically use notebook boards, don't they?
Kind of. It's kind of a weird hybrid. It's like a notebook. It's like, it seems like it's a notebook system with it depends. It depends on what the power output of the different CPUs is.
Well, there's got to be a reason why this particular cycle is so overdue. I don't think it's just like a spec bump. This is going to be a big refresh.
I mean, the other stuff that's missing on the iMacs is USB 3, and there's only been one generation of Thunderbolt iMacs. Mm-hmm. So, like, no USB 3
but
is real.
I think you're going to see, like, a real new, you know, aesthetic redesign. Yeah.
Well,
we'll see. Maybe they'll bring back the table lamp style that we all liked so much.
God. If you can move it and
put
it down.
I do not like that.
It was great when it first came out. I liked it.
I missed the cube. I wish we had more cubes.
I loved the cube. I never understood why it didn't succeed.
Because it overheated.
Yeah, because it didn't work as it was mechanically bad.
But the design was nice.
It's cool to move around, but you never move those desktops around anyway.
Yeah.
You can buy a 2560 by 1440, which is, I think, the same resolution as the 27-inch iMac right
now. It is
now.
The same.
You can buy one of those screen LCD monitors for $400.
Wow, really?
And
is this the thing Wes wrote about?
This is from Korea. If you buy an imported Korean monitor, you can buy it off some online retailers and or eBay. They're all made by LG, the panels. And so it's basically the same panel that you get in an Apple Cinema display, but in different packaging. Mm. And as opposed to paying $1,000 for it, you can buy it for $400. And
wow,
people seem to be very
pretty
happy.
Pretty good value.
Wow.
All right.
Wes has actually bought one, so when it comes in, I'm going to go check it
out. Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Let's see. Next thing on the list, the Enterprise D restoration project. I don't know what this is.
A group of people, Star Trek fans, obviously, wanted to rebuild the Enterprise bridge, and so they bought the bridge that was left over, one of the bridges that was left over from Star Trek The Experience.
Not the show, but from the theme park.
The show one,
wow, really?
The show bridge was destroyed on purpose for generations.
My guess is that the attraction bridge was actually better quality than the show.
Probably had
it has
to
stand up to real eye scrutiny, not just.
But also,
know,
not
yeah.
only was it better quality, but it was also different because they had to make room for the exit signs and the LCD and the monitors behind.
Right.
So it's definitely different, and the sizing was different. It was bigger than on the show because on the show it actually looks bigger on screen when the set was actually kind of small.
Yeah.
A group of friends bought some of the leftover parts, and they are trying to sell the seats.
Where did they find these parts?
All of them went to a mall developer.
Okay.
Who wanted to rebuild Star Trek The Experience, but has not been able to do so because of permits from Vegas. And so they bought it, and they have started a project. They're going to do this Kickstarter, and I'm talking to one of them next week, and they are going to try to rebuild.
And do they have all of it?
They have many of the pieces.
And where would they put it, and what would they do with it?
Have you seen Galaxy Quest?
Yes.
I would think they would build it in a warehouse or build it in someone's home and then reenact Star Trek.
Charge admission or like would this be open to the public?
I don't know if it'd be open to the public.
I looked at next generation captain's chairs plans the other day on the internet. It is not a difficult chair to build, but there are not that many plans out there.
Mm.
So like that the TNG furniture doesn't look like it would be particularly difficult to build if you're good.
TNG furniture
with
was
bent
very
plywood.
Was very 90s.
It was 90s future, though, not 90s.
It kind of reminds me of when Kramer found the old Merv Griffin show sets in a dumpster and rebuilt the Merv Griffin show in his apartment.
That was
pretty cool.
Great
remember
episode.
That? Yeah.
Yeah. Couple other things. Today, I think, or tomorrow, yesterday actually, was the 35th anniversary of the Voyager 1 launch. The 35th anniversary of the Voyager 2 launch was back in August.
Which is the one that has the plaque on it and the music
both
records.
Do.
Oh, they both do?
They both do. So they're both on the edge of the solar system now, in two wildly different directions. I can't remember. I always get them mixed up, but one went to Jupiter and they did the gravitational slingshot and then shot out to the outer edges of the solar system. They've been going for 35 years and they're billions of miles away and they are not outside of the solar system
yet. Yeah, they're still not even close.
Well, the farthest.
No, they're close.
The man-made objects that we've sent out.
Right.
But the crazy thing about it is they don't know when they're going to leave the solar system. All they have there's a couple of instruments that are still operating. They're the longest running probes that we have existent that are still functioning.
Yeah.
And basically there's some guys that check in every once in a while and see, okay, they're still reporting back. Has the solar wind thing – well, they stopped receiving solar wind a while ago, stopped detecting solar wind a while ago, but they're still in like a – it's called the heliosheath or the heliopause.
So do they get any kind of telemetry from these things?
Oh,
or are
yeah.
they just like guessing where they are?
No. They can talk to them. They can turn things on and off. I mean, there's limited power because even though they were using a nuclear Voyager was running a nuclear reactor, but it's not like a reactor. But like,
any signal they get back, like how old is it by the time it gets back here?
Probably 14 hours or something like that.
I would have thought it was even more than that.
No.
Speed of light.
Yeah.
I guess
I can't remember the exact number, but there's a fantastic Radiolab episode about Voyager. So you should go to Radiolab.
Yeah, I find it very interesting.
And listen to it.
Although
it's really
having
good.
After having seen Battleship. On my plane ride back.
Why did you
I'm
do
now
that?
Very nervous about the idea of sending signals and things out into outer space.
We're sending signals. We've only been sending signals for like 100 years.
1930.
We've only had the capability to send the radio signals powerful enough to break our atmosphere.
But I just think the whole idea is foolish now because it seems like the aliens would come and get us. They wouldn't be friendly aliens.
Because clearly the people who made a movie based on a board game have a firm grasp of the science of interstellar.
More than you've done.
Well, Carl Sagan. Carl Sagan. God damn it, Gary, I missed you.
Well, you know, I tell you something. Battleship succeeded as a movie for me because one of the rules that they tell you about movie making is that you should be able to watch a movie with the sound turned off and still follow it and still understand basically what happened.
Yep.
And that happened in both of the movies that I saw on the Delta Air flight out. It was this Nicholas Sparks movie called The Lucky One. Starring Zac Efron. Ooh. And I was able to follow it.
Because I'm
like, it's on, and I'm not really going to watch it. I'm not going to commit to plugging in my headphones, but I'll like, it's on, and you can't really not look at it because it's right in front of you.
Yeah.
And things are moving on a screen. So you're, you know, it's like anything can be on it.
It's a Nicholas Sparks movie. You know what's going
to
happen.
I followed it. I was able to understand exactly what was going on. And the same was also true of Battleship.
At some point,
I could still follow it. Then the sound was not on. I would have to plug in my headphones.
Were you compelled at any point in either of those movies to plug in your headphones?
No.
The only question...
Because I felt like I was doing fine just by visuals alone.
The only question I have about Battleship was, at some point, does Liam Neeson say, you sunk my battleship?
I don't know if he says that, but certainly at some point there is a thing where they put up a grid and they start firing things at like A6 and B4 and they say hit and miss.
Oh my
they do
God.
Actually do that. And the projectiles that the aliens fire
look like the pegs that stick
into the plastic ships.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were faithful to the source material.
Is that Candyland movie still happening?
I think what happened was after Battleship did not do well, I think that whole Hasbro deal just went away. They were like, let's not do this again, guys.
This was a good idea.
Yeah, because they were going to do Candyland, and then they were going to do Ouija board, because Hasbro owns that.
Like, well, I could see a Ouija board.
They were going to do Monopoly. Like, all this stuff went away.
Monopoly was Sam Raimi.
I think it was Ridley Scott.
Oh, Ridley Scott. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Fuck me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ridley Scott.
What is wrong with this world?
It was going to be his of Wall Street.
I think, to be fair, actually, it didn't seem to me, and again, I would have to, I guess, turn the sound on to really know, but it didn't seem to me that Battleship was, as Hollywood popcorn standards go, it didn't strike me as a bad movie. I think that.
You didn't get the wubs. No sound.
But I think that because it was. The what? The
wub wubs.
It's a dubstep.
They had wubs in it? Oh, I didn't know that.
All wubs. Yeah.
Probably for the best then.
You really saved yourself. You dodged a bullet by not plugging in those headphones.
Yeah, maybe so. But I think because it was based on a board game, that's the lens that it got viewed through. And people said, well, this is inherently dumb. But like, if it had just been released as like naval alien fighter dudes, original movie, it probably would have got slightly
better
scores.
Top Gun meets ID4.
You mean stealth?
Yes. Yes.
Let's talk about what we've been testing, guys. Gary, we went to PAX this weekend.
We did. PAX Prime.
How was PAX?
PAX is always awesome.
Why didn't you go this year?
I'm going on a bunch of trips. I didn't want to spend the money.
Oh, but it's PAX. It's one of the great events in our calendar. We love it.
I get sick every time.
I only got to go for one day.
You packed a lot of packs into one day, though.
Well, we did. And what happened was because we were traveling with the baby and also because I had a prior commitment to go to this other thing in Hawaii that was right. At one point, I didn't know if I was going to be able to do both. So I managed to find a way to kind of juggle them. So we got into Seattle
Wednesday?
2 days early. We got in Wednesday night. So, because we wanted to make sure the baby could settle and, you know, we didn't know what traveling. As it turned out, traveling the baby was actually pretty good. But we had all of Thursday free. And PAX Dev is going on during that time, but fuck PAX Dev.
That's serious business.
Yeah,
You're a developer now, though.
Well, I am, but it's for serious people.
Okay.
Was PAX 4 days this year?
No, it will be next year.
Okay.
Yeah. It was 3 days this year. And so we took Thursday just as a complete tourism day. And we wandered down the street to Pike Place Market, which I've always wanted to go to.
Gina and I did that on Saturday morning.
And it's a wonderful place. Many great places to eat. You know, it's fun to see the fish market guys kind of lobbing the fishes around. Mm-hmm. It's a great, you know, spectacle to see.
I saw a lobster tail the size of my calf.
I went to the first ever Starbucks, the original Starbucks.
The logo is very different.
Yeah, well, the logo is very different. And what I like about it is that even though it does essentially function as a tourist attraction, there's a line out the door because everybody wants to go to the first, and they sell a lot of merchandise, but they haven't turned it into an attraction.
No, it still looks like a humble kind of mom and pop coffee shop.
Hmm. And I liked that a lot. And I went in and I bought a coffee to say I could do it. And I also got a mug that says the first Starbucks.
That's good.
And I enjoyed my experience immensely.
How many Starbucks could you see from the first Starbucks?
Well, there's another one down the street. Once you get into that historic kind of area, they all have that old-fashioned signage.
Okay.
And I saw one that had the old brown signage. And I'm like, but it was a big one. I was like, that doesn't seem like it was the first one.
Two-tailed mermaid.
Yeah, so I went further down the street and I found the actual real one.
Mm.
And I got a lot of recommendations for where to eat.
Where did people send you there?
So we found a place on the way down there called Cupcake Royale, which was a fantastic cupcake place.
I like where
and
this
it was
is going.
Very Portlandia. You would have loved it. It was like it was really could have been in a Portlandia sketch.
Like five different kinds of vegan cupcakes?
Incredible kinds of ice cream. They had one this fantastic banana fudge ice cream that was amazing.
Carrot cake right now.
And they had these really amazing lavender cupcakes and raspberry lemonade cupcakes. I had a...
Is that a raspberry cupcake with lemonade ice cream icing?
Yeah, kind of.
Oh,
and tiramisu cupcakes. Just really, really good cupcakes. And I had a cup of coffee and we enjoyed the cupcakes and had some free samples of ice cream and it was really, really good stuff. And then went a few more blocks down, first Starbucks. So the number one place that got... Two places that got recommended most. One was a place called Piroshki Piroshki where they do Piroshkis.
I didn't get
to go there. But we did. But the other place that got recommended a lot was this place called Beecher's Cheese, where they specialize in cheese, and they have two things.
I saw that.
Two things they're well known for. One is a really good mac and cheese, and the other one a really good grilled cheese.
Amazing grilled cheese sandwich.
So we got one of each. And the weird thing was, I tweeted about it, and the official Beecher's Cheese Twitter account tweeted me back, and they were tweeting me while I was in the store. It was just this weird kind of combination
the
of like
tweets
real
were coming
life
from
and,
inside the store.
Yeah, real life
was
and internet
some
life.
Guy like behind
but
the counter.
The mac and cheese was all right, but the grilled cheese was terrific.
Hmm.
And then we wandered around the actual farmer's market part itself. And I stopped at a Chinese hole-in-the-wall place, and I got some crab rangoons, had some of those, had really good calamari, had this incredible thing that was called a raspberry thumbprint, which was basically like a big shortbread cookie with like
those
raspberry
things are
jam
great.
On top. Oh, my God. There was,
you know why they're called that? Because you jam your thumb in and you put the raspberry jam in there.
Yeah, and it was you can wander around there all day and just eat so many kind of good different kinds of food.
Wow. So was it just jam-packed on Thursday, like you couldn't walk?
It was. I wouldn't want to be there on a Saturday. Let me tell you that.
Saturday, there were too many people.
Yeah, it was pretty busy.
It was scary.
Did you go into the underground area where they had the comic book store?
There's a whole magic shop.
There's three different levels. It goes way down.
We went to the second level, but we didn't go all the way down because there were too many people. It got kind of scary.
Yeah, it got Saturday. I'm glad we went on the Thursday.
You mentioned sweets in a pastry shop. When I say macaroon, what type of pastry do you think of?
What I think of these days is like one of those French style ones that looks like a little. I don't know how you describe it, but it's very light and airy with a little bit of cream in the middle. Well, it can be.
I only knew what macaroons as that coconutty.
Yeah, they're
thing,
always
you know,
coconut.
Chocolate. I did not know.
No. That's not what I think of. I think of the French style ones.
I think about the Oreo with the filling.
Yeah,
I did not know that was a macaroon.
That's a macaroon.
The coconut style is what I used to think of as a macaroon. But
I love the coconut pastry, like the Madeleine-esque.
Yeah, kind of
with coconut. Or we can have chocolate on top.
Well, the Madeleine's a little seashelly looking.
I know.
Thing.
I mean, same type of like bread though. Same type of.
There's also
a spongy kind of.
There's
spongy,
also a
coconut, but now there's the Oreo kind. With different flavors. I don't like those. So gross.
That's crazy.
There was a very good chocolate shop that had a sign outside. It said 10% off if you show your PAX badge.
Mm.
So we went inside and we got some really good chocolates.
Show your PAX badge.
Did you have different color PAX badges this year?
No, we're both the same.
I was not a special guest.
That was nice.
I was just a 3-day. I was just going for fun, but I saw a lot of stuff.
And very, very excited because they have there a great preview of what we're getting now in San Francisco, which is a city Target. We went to the city Target, and it's
hold on, you don't eat at Chick-fil-A, but you'll shop at Target?
What's wrong with Target?
Target's run by neo-fascists too.
Have they publicly said that gay people are horrible?
So. I don't think they said they're horrible, but they have policies that are
no, I'm not familiar with that.
Stop talking.
If I don't know about this, it doesn't
count. I think Seattle is a great city.
Jeff said clean San Francisco.
Since Pinkberry.
Yeah, kind of.
Pinkberry open, and also widest sidewalks ever.
Pinkberry's changed its menu over again now. Have you seen now what they have now?
No more watermelon.
Fall colors, fall flavors.
Chocolate hazelnut is now the flavor
Seattle,
du jour.
Super wide sidewalks, same as Portland. Love incredibly wide sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
But Pinkberry open downtown San Francisco. Have you been?
No, but I now know exactly where I've reconned it. I know exactly where it is.
By Macy's.
But the weird thing is I'm at the airport more often than I am downtown.
Yeah.
Like my Pinkberry, and let me tell you something. I am very, very close
Pinkberry
now.
Pinkberry VIP.
I'm very close.
I always say I don't want the card.
Pinkberry. I only need 1, 2, 3 more stamps. And I was very annoyed because the Pinkberry in Hawaii does not honor the stamp. So I should be too close.
Program.
Oh. Here's the thing about having a Pinkberry in the city now. When I go through Terminal 2, I don't automatically get Pinkberry anymore.
I don't automatically get it, but it's a rare occurrence.
You automatically get it on the way there. You don't automatically get it on the way
out. I used to always get it automatically, unless it was a one-day trip and it was back and forth on the same day, because then that's just too much.
I've done that.
I've seen that.
Yeah,
totally doable.
But now that it's an option in the city, even though I never go to Union Square, I don't feel the pressure to get Pinkberry.
Union Square gives you the option then to get the larger size.
It's weird. Pinkberry has become the only place that when I sit, I'm like, well, now I have to have Pinkberry. Like the option of just walking past it is just, it's not an option.
Fair enough.
I've got my order down now, so like, I know exactly. It bums me out because it's going to change.
You know what pissed me off is the crepe bits that you introduced me to last year.
Yeah, see, they swap them around.
They're not there. I haven't seen them in a year.
But again, you win some, you lose some. So like my thing was the coconut Pinkberry. Well, there was peanut butter Pinkberry.
Yeah, I love the peanut
with
butter.
The chocolate pretzels and the toasted bites. Almonds and that chocolate crispy sludge that you have to pay extra 50 cents extra for.
Yeah.
And but they've got rid of the peanut butter flavor and they've brought in chocolate hazelnut.
What? Oh, hello.
And they've got rid of
Nutella?
And they also got rid of the peanut butter crunch topping, but they've replaced it with Nutella. Because hazelnut
Nutella?
Is the theme at Pinkberry right now.
Yeah.
And you can get a chocolate hazelnut Pinkberry that has these little waffle straws kind of shot through with hazelnut. Oh, really good.
Can I tell you what Norman Chan does that makes me sad when we go to Pinkberry?
I get plain Pinkberry.
Norm doesn't get toppings.
No toppings, only plain.
I don't understand. To me, as much as I like the yogurt, it's really just a delivery mechanism for the toppings.
Yeah, exactly.
The purity of the
yogurt. I would buy a cup full of toppings if they sold it.
Newbie, by the way, now has Oreo cheesecake flavor.
The one that's Stone
Sound? Not interested.
Yeah.
Oh. Or not Stone Sound.
The one on Slow.
Yeah. I go there all the time.
Yeah.
I went to PAX too.
Yeah. You got to.
I was there.
I was only there for one day because we had the baby with us.
Yeah.
How's baby?
She was great. But
she was a trooper, man.
She was great, but our movements obviously were somewhat limited, and she did have a bit of a meltdown later in the day. We realized that we had kind of asked a little bit too much.
You pushed too hard.
We didn't. She was fine up until the point where she decided she had had too much 2 hours ago.
Yeah, she made it through your panel.
She made halfway through.
She was pretty good even when she flipped out.
But she was there all day, and she went. We thank God for PopCap and their Plants vs. Zombies Pinball Lounge.
Yeah.
By the way, Plants vs. Zombies Pinball is really fun. And I'm going to be getting that.
You're just saying that because you sat in their lounge.
No,
for
I'm getting
hours.
It because games like that and Rock Band Blitz, when you've got a baby now, you're happy for like 5-10 minute gaming sessions. So you play games that can be played in little bite-sized chunks. So I enjoyed Plants vs. Zombies Pinball, but even more than that, I enjoyed their very relaxing armchairs where they kindly let us sit down and kind of relax with the baby and
Jeff came
over and talked to us. So we did that for a bit.
We've locked him for Oktoberfest now, by the way. He's in.
Perfect. Yeah. Good. And I think maybe the Idle Thumbs guys and all kinds of
we did some Oktoberfest talking.
We got
some real stuff happening.
Yeah.
We walked around.
We need to figure out those dates because
we have the dates.
You already have.
Well, what is it?
We just don't have it announced yet.
Well, you need to tell me because I'm not available every day in October.
I gave you the dates weeks ago.
Well, you need to give them to me.
We will repeat them to you after.
Okay.
Yes. We'll have an announcement. Let's say next week for the dates.
All right. So what was your PAX like?
I walked around with you on Friday.
Yeah.
I went to
the Walking Dead panel.
The Walking Dead panel,
which was
great.
Tremendous success. The enforcers told us that was the biggest panel of the day in that theater.
Yeah,
which was one of the bigger theaters.
There was a huge line. It was a really – I thoroughly enjoyed the panel.
Did it precede an Adventure Time panel?
Oh. Actually, it preceded the God of War panel. Oh. But unlike Comic-Con, they don't let you stay there. They clear you out, yeah, and then they bring people into the empty room. So it was all Walking Dead people, and it was a good panel. And then for about an hour afterwards, we stood around and signed posters and chatted to people that enjoyed the games. It was great.
It was good. So let's see. We walked around the show some. We saw the Indie Mega Booth. Well, you weren't with me when we saw the Indie Mega Booth. We saw the Indie Mega Booth, which they moved it out of the upstairs ghetto that it was in last year.
Right.
And now it was on the main show floor in just like a kind of little nook with like 30 or 40 developers in there. Saw some really, really, really cool games.
Yeah, I didn't
see
any of the games that were like hyped up, like Antichamber, and there was a handful of games that were supposed to be really, really cool that I didn't get to see any of those.
So I saw Closure, which I thought was really neat. It's a it's a 2D side-scrolling platformer. But the mechanic is if light isn't on it, then it doesn't exist.
Okay.
So it's either black or white. The things that are physical are white when they're lit and they disappear when they're black. So you have to manipulate the light in the world in order to traverse and have physics-y puzzles and stuff like that. I played like two levels, looked super fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows when it's going to actually come out.
Is that one of the PAX 10?
I don't know if it was one of the PAX 10.
Okay. I enjoyed Curse of Nordic Cove.
We played that a little bit, the golf zombie puzzler.
It seemed like a very unpolished game, but I love games that do something different. And the idea of combining golf...
It was real weird.
And the occult.
Yes.
I had not seen that before.
No.
It's like after you hold the ball and finish the hole, you get attacked by wraiths.
Yeah.
Demonic wraiths, and you have to beat them with your golf club.
And then the second level is a puzzle level for no apparent reason.
It was a very strange game, and I was kind of intrigued by it.
Profoundly weird.
Yeah.
I played Quadrilateral Cowboy, which is a... like Neuromancer 1981 set in Neuromancer world kind of
steampunky
cyberpunky
cyberpunk.
Hacking game where you have a deck and like when you need to open a door or something, you take your deck, you put it down next to the door you need to open, then you hack the door and there's terminal commands, and it was real weird and kind of
all
awesome.
Okay. And we got to play with the Wii U, which I had not done before.
Oh yeah.
I was kind of impressed at how easy it was. I mean, the Nintendo booth was busy, but it wasn't like at E3 where you have to wait 2 hours in line to play with the Wii U.
No.
I was in line for maybe 60 seconds, and then someone handed me a controller, and we got to play New Super Mario Brothers. I got to play it first with the regular controller as one of the four characters,
yep.
And then with the touch screen as the guy that was like dropping the little platforms for people.
So,
and the concept of the whole touchscreen thing was not in any way proven, but I did enjoy it.
That was the weakest of the demos at E3.
Yeah,
the Wii U demo. Because I mean, the thing is, I don't know what the hook is for the guy that's running the screen. It seems like it would be real boring unless those levels get dramatically harder later
Wife
on.
Duties.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
wifely duties.
Yeah,
but I almost think it's more fun to defend the people who are bad at the game with the screen than
the thing that impressed me the most is actually kind of the least high concept element. Was it was such an amazing novelty to see Nintendo games in high definition.
Yeah.
It was like, wow, that's what I always dreamed of, is Mario in high def. It looks really good.
Made me want to play Super Mario Galaxy 2 in high def.
I hope they remaster those games.
They will. They'll just have to pay for them.
The last indie mega booth game I played was that I really liked was Card Hunter.
Okay.
I think Tycho posted about it yesterday, but it was it's like a weird kind of like you fight and when you win fights you collect the cards and then it becomes like CCG, and it seemed really high concept and kind of unlike anything I'd ever seen before.
And did you get to go to any other panels or seminars? Or
so I saw the Bombcast.
How was that?
It was fucking amazing. The Bombcast is at its best when either Jeff or Ryan get kind of unhinged.
Yeah.
And they were both completely lost it by maybe 20 minutes in, probably. Like at one point, Jeff was standing up on the stage screaming about pennies and putting a plastic bag over his head. And Ryan discovered that his white mic was wireless. So we went back to harass the people who sat in the back row.
It's really, they really have a unique energy, Giant Bomb. It's not like no other gaming website.
Magical. Yeah. Magical. They had the Dave Langzung return from PAX East.
Did they have John Drake on drums?
No, they didn't do a band this year. They moved beyond the band.
Okay.
But John Drake sat next to me, so I got to talk to Drake.
Have you played much Rock Band Blitz?
I have.
I like it.
It's fantastic.
I didn't understand the concept at first, but now I think it's funny that for a gaming franchise that is basically built on these custom instruments, that probably the most fun version of it is the one that doesn't use them at all.
Well, the thing about it is, at first I looked at it, I was like, oh, it's frequency or amplitude or what's the game on Steam, the indie game? The one with the trails.
Audio Surf,
thanks.
Yeah.
And then once you start playing it and you realize you're doing actually all five of the multi-track
instruments.
Well,
the strategy of knowing when to change lanes is the... Yeah. That's the... But people like High School Warriors, there's so much strategy there for that.
Yeah, and it's totally a leaderboard game. But the nice... Have you hooked it to Facebook yet?
I think I haven't pressed the last button.
You need
in
to
the
do
process.
That because because then you can do challenges and stuff to each other. Right. We need to do some challenges where we play songs back and forth.
I'm not very good at it though.
Neither am I.
Okay.
Like Ryan, Ryan's on my list and he has scores in the 350,000.
It's great if you've got a big Rock Band library. I mean, it brought everything over from like Lego Rock Band, everything but the Beatles, which obviously
and Rock Band 3,
its own separate thing. Oh yeah, it's fantastic. Rock Band 3, great library.
No, but Rock Band 3 doesn't come over either.
Oh, it doesn't.
There's no export.
So how does it export?
Oh, why not?
Rock Band 3 doesn't export because they don't have a export license for those songs.
God
it
damn it.
How does it export? Is it, the
it takes the
there?
library on your hard drive. So when you say export Rock Band 2 songs to play in Rock Band 3, it'll just pick those up.
Yeah. It's a very similar, like I installed the game and there's like a sit and watch a bar for like 5 minutes and then all your songs are there. So you don't have to do anything.
You have to sign in to something, right?
It's Xbox Live.
Oh, Xbox Live. Okay.
Yeah, so anything that you have access to as part of your Xbox Live account.
I went by the Harmonix booth hoping to get some Blitz mitts.
They were
all sold out, but they gave me a Slapwatch, Dance Central 3 Slapwatch instead, sure.
Pope hurt me with my Slapwatch.
Yeah. Did you get to do any gaming? Any card gaming?
I did.
Board
I
gaming?
Played a lot of board games. Gene and I played a ton of board games.
That's my favorite part of PAX. We didn't get to do that this year, but...
Well, it's hard with the baby, I would think.
Yeah. And they PC Free Play, they changed it.
So oh, they did?
They moved it because...
PC Free Play is my other favorite part.
PC Free Play, they had esports tournaments. They made a whole stadium.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. Well, because they have these... I mean, Dota 2 was a big deal. The invitation on international
was a big
deal.
That was not part of PAX.
There were three separate esports tournaments upstairs.
League of Legends had a big tournament.
Yeah.
So but I did play board games. I went in.
I don't recognize the term esports, by the way. I just don't.
More on that later. I played Agricola with four people, which I'd never done before. Agricola is one of those like super scary, hardcore games.
That's not for me.
I've never tried to play it with you because I know you wouldn't cope well.
I mean, just right from the title, I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck the title means. Clearly, you have no interest in any clarity at all.
It's a grim setting because you play a medieval farmholder. Okay. And like you have to start with a mud hut and build a farm over like 20 rounds or something like that. So it's a fixed length of time usually.
Right.
But it gets really crazy complex. There's a bunch of different ways to score points.
Okay.
It's a hardcore game. And it turns out I'm really phenomenally bad at Agricola. This is what I learned. I played with a dude who's a professional StarCraft player and coach, though. So that was fun. Then we played Carcassonne with Magazine from the forums, moderator Magazine, which I'd never played a physical version of Carcassonne before. So that was interesting. And you kind of learn a little bit more about that. And scoring is a challenge. And then we played a game called Eminent Domain.
Yeah, Lloyd brought this over.
Lloyd brought it over ages ago. It was a Kickstarter, and it's from a guy named Seth Jaffe and his company of people. It is a fantastic game. It's a 4X game that is it's a 4X deck building game. So you have planets and spaceships, and you can colonize planets peacefully. You can attack them with warships.
Oh, that sounds
you can do research to gain points. You can what's the other way you can get points?
I like galactic domination.
You can do trade stuff, like trade and industry.
I'll play that.
Fucking awesome. And it's like...
And what's the
how long
what's the difficulty level?
It's perfect for you.
What's the length of the
very
game?
Low.
Okay.
45 minutes to an hour for two people.
Oh, yeah. It's totally manageable.
Yeah.
At Comic-Con, I haven't unwrapped it yet, but we should also play Paint the Line.
Oh, I got that too.
I've got the card.
Yeah, I got a copy of that as well.
Yeah.
The other thing about Eminent Domain is, unlike a lot of deck building games like Dominion, where you have four people playing and there's nothing to do between your turn and the next, there's a mechanism where you follow on other people's actions. And so, like, you have to do something at each person's turn, which gives you kind of constant refreshing of your strategy and how you're going to play.
All right, sounds good.
It's a phenomenal game. We'll have to.
I love
a game
PAX, and I'm glad that it's going global. It's going well. You know, they've got Australia coming up, and hopefully they'll do one in Europe, and 4 days in Seattle next year. I think next
PAX East again.
We're trying to figure out if a year from now it's going to be more easier or more. We actually think it'll be more difficult, to have a 1 year old.
Yeah, I think.
But we're still going to. But I think we're going to try and come up with some plan to kind of like, you know, find ways to offload the baby, like stick her in a garbage can or something.
Hours. Get a cage, cage.
Yeah, we'll find ways to do it.
Hey, Disneyland.
Hey, I got to do two other things. I street passed a lot with my 3DS.
Oh yeah, it was fun to see Brad Schumacher had his 3DS in like a cross shoulder strap.
Yeah.
So it was like available for street passing immediately.
I street passed 200 times.
Holy shit.
At one point,
did you wash your hands after?
At one point, I just stood outside the Nintendo area where all the people had their 3DSs out and street passed over and over and over again.
It's crazy.
Until I was chafed.
Crazy.
Got sore.
I washed my hands a lot.
I had hand sanitizer constantly.
I did that too.
Yeah.
They had Kleenex hand sanitizer set up all over the show, yep, so you could get that.
Yeah. A little dispenser.
Coming back, the big adjustment has been not washing my hands every 20 minutes. I feel like now,
get used to it.
I really need to wash my hands. I feel like they're dirty, Lady Macbeth. And then the other thing is I got to try on the Oculus VR. VR headset.
So how was it?
So the version that they had was one of the early prototypes that you couldn't wear with glasses. So the final ones are going to correct for bad vision. Like they'll have built in vision correction.
Each eye.
For each eye independently. Even having to kind of squint to see things in focus, awesome. It was really, really cool. The way it works is you strap it on like a pair of street ski goggles just directly over your head. And then basically they turn on the game and your head movements move. We were playing Doom, the BFG edition of Doom, which is what it'll ship with. Your head motions kind of track the cursor back and forth, left, right, up and down.
Okay.
And then everything else is you use a gamepad. You used a gamepad to control.
Right.
So you could still use the right stick of the gamepad for big movements, like turning around 180 degrees. But basically I had incredibly fine control over shooting monsters in Doom 3. Like I could have, if I was playing Dead Space, it would have made shooting the arms off of stuff really, really easy. But the amazing thing about it wasn't any of that stuff. It's that it fills your field of vision. Like when you put it on, your eyeballs are resting to the point that my eyelashes touch the lenses, and everything I could see was game. So unlike
screen goggle though, I mean like ski goggles.
Ski goggles. Yeah. So unlike say the Sony headset that we have, where you put it on, and it looks like you're looking at a pretty big screen 10 or 12 feet away. This looked like everything that you could see all around your eyes was Doom.
I like that.
It was pretty cool. And it's 3D, of course, too. So they're doing a single panel that's split with optics. But the effect was really, really good, and I'm really looking forward to getting it at the end of this year.
Trying it. I can't wait to try it.
Well, we have one coming. Again, what we saw was the developer kit, which is lower resolution. They're saying that they're going to have a consumer version that's 1080p, a 1080p screen, late this year, late 2013.
I'm all over it. Early 2014. I'm a believer.
And they haven't announced more software partners. But I mean, I assume that Unreal and
we are
going to
get closer to that day where you walk into someone's house, you go home after work, and then the kids are all on the couch with their VR goggles.
Oh yes, the dream. Yeah. Don't have to look at anyone.
No,
no, never look at anyone again.
Mom, she's proof.
Let's see. Anything else? What else?
Oh my god!
Good god, Norm. We quick looked the MakerBot mixtape this morning. That'll be up next week. Norm, what do you think about the MakerBot mixtape?
It's awfully hipster.
It's a MP3 player that goes inside a printed cassette. We'll show you when the show's over, Gary.
Okay.
But basically, you print a cassette on your a thing that looks like a cassette on your MakerBot. They sell a little MP3 player kit that goes inside. It's 2 gigs. It's not very big, but the idea is you can make a mixtape for friends and loved ones, which is a lost art because sharing playlists isn't the same as giving someone something physical.
But it's not really a cassette. It just looks like a cassette.
It's a cassette with an MP3 player inside. You plug your headphones into it.
Okay. It's a cassette-shaped mold, like a cassette.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can also download other designs and print like a heart-shaped
box.
MP3 player.
Okay.
No, that's about Courtney Love. Yeah, or other things.
All right.
We did a trio of gadgets yesterday. I call them gadgets because for the most part, they're single-serving devices. We tested one of those quirky power supplies that's bendy, so you can put big giant power bricks on it.
Oh, you're like a power squid?
No, not like a power squid because it's actually a surge protector because power squids don't do surge protection.
Oh.
They're just like port multipliers.
Okay.
This one is a surge protector and it bends, so you can put big power bricks on it. That's pretty much it.
All right.
The cordies, which I don't know if you've seen, but you know how when you put your phone on your nightstand and the cord falls down every night behind the nightstand, you have to bend over and pick it up?
Mm-hmm.
This stops that from happening.
All right.
And then the Gerber shard, which I don't have my – oh, yeah, I do. It's this thing. It's to prevent you from wedging stuff with your keys. It's really good. It's $7.
Wedging stuff?
So you don't have to wedge stuff with your keys.
Yeah, so like, you know, you use your keys as tools to unscrew things and pry things open and stuff like that. The Gerber shard. That's what it does. And it's also a bottle opener.
Okay. I bought this thing from Walgreens. It was $10. It's like it goes in the outlet.
Okay.
And it's an outlet split. You get three outlets, but you also get two little USB ports.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I like those. You know, my hotel, I stayed at a Kimpton and they had something new that I'd never seen before.
What's that?
It was a charging station on your nightstand and it had 220 volt outlets and two USB outlets, one of which was a 10 watt iPad outlet.
I like that.
So you had four potential charging stations, including one that would handle
a laptop.
That's
great, because one of the problems in hotels is there's never enough outlets.
Oh, my God, there's never any outlets. And they're always those dumb ones in the base of the of the lamp.
Yeah, that's what I had.
In my room in Hawaii,
they had the shitty outlets. And they also had something I haven't seen in many, many years, which is the Nintendo 64 controller for the hotel TV.
Fake controller.
The 3-1?
That's a fake controller.
Yeah. No, it's a real. You can play real Nintendo 64 games.
I know, but it's not real. It's not the.
No, it's a knockoff, but it's close enough.
It's the Nintendo design.
Yes. Yeah. It's almost, yes. But I don't think it's officially.
Made by Spectrovision.
Yeah.
Licensed from Nintendo.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. And then the last thing, pay by phone. We talked about Uber a little bit, which we like. Uber gives you a way to get car service in specific cities.
One of the Uber drivers was telling me that they're going to be expanding next into Vegas and Miami, which I guess seems like two cities
thing.
That would.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like it's hard to get a cab in Vegas.
Sometimes it is.
It's hard to get a cab in style.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they had some legal problems in Boston, but it seems like that's getting worked out. There's also a thing called Magic Taxi that I haven't tried yet, but it does the same thing, but with taxis.
Magic Carpet Ride?
There's one called Taxi Magic.
Taxi Magic, sorry.
But then you're waiting 45 minutes for a cab, and it's probably going to be a shitty cab, and the guy's not going to know what's going on.
Sometimes
the cab doesn't show up. Uber, I mean, when they say the nearest driver is 4 minutes away, he shows up in 4 minutes.
When you see the little picture on the thing,
yeah,
so you
see
where the car is.
It's a great app.
Pay by phone for parking meters in San Francisco is a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have tried that and found it to be remarkably good.
Oh, it works?
It does work. You put it
if
in
the meter supports it. I mean, I haven't seen very many meters that actually do support
it. Well, all the ones around here support it, which makes it work out okay. But yeah, recommended.
All right.
By phone.
Good.
If your meters support that, they're pretty cool.
Okay.
Let's take...
So like you presumably get like an app and it tells you when the time's going to run out or whatever and you can just reload it?
Yeah. It sends you a text message. The app sends you a push alert and says – it only lets you go up to the legal limit of that meter.
Right.
So it knows that if it's a two-hour meter, you can't go beyond 2 hours.
Right.
But yeah, all that stuff works.
I love it.
It's very
– living in the future.
The only downside is that they charge 45 cents as a service fee to do it.
Such bullshit.
Well, which seems bad until you realize that 45 cents is like 6 minutes of time on a San Francisco parking meter.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's $3 an hour now.
Ugh.
So yeah.
Outrageous.
Yeah, it's criminal. What do you guys say about moving on to the next segment? Anything else we want to talk about that we've been testing?
The next segment?
You know.
I think we're done. Questions?
Emails?
Well, but we do the other one.
Emails.
No, we don't do emails. We do.
Emails?
No.
Questions.
Boom.
Speaking of Brad Shoemaker, he's on our podcast every week now. If you have a question for This Is Only a Test, the email address is podcast@testa.com. We are also taking questions for Still Untitled with Adam Savage for Adam. You don't have to send audio questions for that. You can send written questions, and we will read them with funny voices. Keep them short, under 45 seconds, and make them topical and interesting, please, or we will not use them. Here is the first question.
Hey, guys. Rob from England here with two questions and some hometown trivia for you. Firstly, my mum and girlfriend asked me to think of what I want for Christmas this year, and I was told off for not being able to come up with a physical object. I get my games off Steam, music off iTunes, and books off Amazon. And apparently a gift card isn't satisfying enough to give, and I detest receiving money. How do you guys deal with present buying and receiving in an increasingly digital world? Secondly, I've owned a Kindle for a little over a year now and recently found that reading paper books, sci-fi and fantasy tomes in particular, very uncomfortable due to hand placement, weight and angle of reading. Have you guys noticed this issue at all? Finally, my hometown trivia. In December last year, my hometown of Staines changed its name to Staines-upon-Thames in an attempt to disassociate itself from Ali G. Thanks very much and keep on testing.
Well, that's
good piece of trivia.
I knew about the Staines thing because they're embarrassed by that whole Ali G thing. In the same way that Kazakhstan doesn't really love what he did to them either. I thought it was a good question. It's true. You know, one of the side effects of everything going digital these days is that books and video games and any kind of content that you might give someone harder and harder to give physical copies.
If you're someone a young adult and you need to receive a present. Frames are excellent.
Like glasses frames?
No. Like frames for pictures and posters.
But you got to do that custom for
the
device.
That's what you give to old people.
Yeah, why don't you get socks?
I'll take a 24 by 36 frame.
You're a specific case.
Or
hipster
furniture.
Norm.
But what, nice but what happens is...
Furniture is expensive, though.
What
dude.
Happens is your auntie or your granny doesn't know that. She's like, young
Socks.
Johnny, he likes video games. I'll buy him a video game.
Socks.
Well, yeah, but like, it's only when you get older that you appreciate. Like, socks are always good, but it's like a 20-year-old young kid doesn't want to get
tumblers. A good whiskey glass.
It is. I mean, it is true though. Like, if you read all your books online or on a Kindle and you get all your video games that way, that is. Yeah. Like, nobody gift cards are kind of lame.
I like Etsy.
Cash.
When I'm shopping for somebody, I like to go to Etsy and find something.
It is kind of sad now that when you go to GameStop and look at the PC section, it's basically just a rack selling Steam gift cards. That's it.
Well, they're lucky they have that much.
Yeah. No wonder they're going out of business.
I don't think they're... Are they going out of business? I think
you know, Best Buy's going out of business.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple 98%. Weeks ago.
Yeah, that's terrible, isn't it?
Holy crap.
What's 98%?
Their like profits are 98% down.
Pachter commented on it and made a comment. Apparently this is true, is that people now just treat Best Buy like an Amazon showroom. You go there to get hands-on with the products, decide what you want to buy, and then go home and get it on Amazon.
I did that buying luggage the other day at Macy's. But because of the Macy's fabulous Labor Day sale, I was able to get the luggage that I wanted at Macy's for the Amazon price.
Do you feel guilty when you just scan stuff in stores now and realize that it's cheaper on Amazon? Oh, I do it all the time.
It depends on which store it is.
Don't go to the store. Know what you want.
Sometimes
you like to browse.
If I'm browsing.
If you're browsing, there's some things you have to browse for. Media you never browse for because
sometimes I'm looking around the store and they'll be like, oh, I didn't realize that was a thing or I didn't know that was available. But instead of just buying it there, I will first check to see if I can get it cheaper online.
Well, books are the one place that Amazon does really well with the recommendation engine too. Like some of the other stuff is really janky.
Coffee table books are better seen in person.
So coffee table books are always good for that sort of thing. But I cannot buy physical books anymore. It just seems like and to his second point.
Yeah,
books seem really heavy now and awkward to hold.
Yeah, I don't even like holding the iPad to read. I use the Kindle to read or the Nexus 7.
Yeah.
I bought a physical copy of a book for somebody the other day and it was really funny because it was hardback and I was like, wow, this is really enormous.
It just seems so antiquated to me now.
I'm getting ready to get rid of not all of them, but the books that don't have sentimental value.
Right.
Yeah. Makes me a little sad. One more question. This one is a topical.
Hey, Tesla crew. This is Brian from Ireland. And having lived in five different countries, I'm what is known as a third culture kid. So I can't really say that I have a hometown nor any hometown trivia. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on esports, or what's more generally known as competitive video gaming. It's a phenomenon that's become increasingly popular lately and has drawn some seriously impressive numbers, like Dota 2's The International event, which was held last weekend. That had several hundred thousand live viewers and a $1 million top prize. Even more casual games like Team Fortress 2 have a competitive scene. Like last month's Insomnia 46 LAN in England had over 400 players from around the world. So have you guys ever tried either playing or watching competitive games, and what did you think if so? Thanks.
Now this is interesting because, Gary, you think esports are really dumb.
Well, no, that's actually a gross mischaracterization. But first of all, I would like to say that I don't care how many places you've lived. Everyone's got a hometown.
Yeah.
I think he's trying to kind of sound like a bit more of a citizen of the world than he really is.
What's your hometown trivia, Gary?
My hometown trivia?
Yeah.
I don't really think I have any. I mean, I guess I could widen it out for, you know, to include all of London, because that's where I was born.
Okay.
In which case, you know, there's all kinds of amazing information about London.
Yeah.
But like the sad particular little regional corner of it where I was born, there's not much to say.
I was born in Bristol, Tennessee, which is the hometown, the birthplace of country music.
Wow. Was it?
Yeah.
All right. That's a good one.
Yeah, I was born in San Francisco.
I was literally born within the sound of Bow Bells, which they tell you that's how you're an authentic East End Cockney. So I am one of those.
Okay, you don't have the accent though.
No, because I've lived here for so many years.
But did you sound like a chimney sweep?
I mean, when I grew up and when I go home, the accent comes back. It's just living here for so long has kind of buried it so deep down. It's very diluted. But when I go back, I sound like...
I want to hear Cockney Gary.
The weird thing is I couldn't even fake it for you right now. That's the weird thing.
You have to be surrounded
by family. It has to come back organically.
We'll Skype you in next time you go back to
do that.
You'd find it very interesting.
It sounds totally different. I don't think esports are dumb. I think that competitive gaming is totally legitimate. And I think it's great that gaming has become big enough that they can have these big money prizes and tournaments, and it's great.
Oh, you just don't like the term.
I think calling them in any manner of sports is disingenuous.
Is bowling
a sport? I don't really like the whole trying to make celebrities out of these people because they don't.
And it's nothing new. Like it's been esports have been going on, but since like 2000.
Well, promoters have been capitalizing.
Well, since before even that. I mean, when I was on PC Gamer, I remember when Thresh was a big deal. Huh.
And
we had him as a columnist on the in the magazine for a while. He was the first.
Give him his pink slip, Gary.
He was the first real.
You sacked Thresh?
I didn't sack him.
Okay. There were many letters asking to sack him.
Oh,
Dennis Fong is a nice guy, and he came into our office, and we all played him at Quake just to see how good he really was. And he fucking demolished us.
PC Gamer did the same thing with Fatality.
Yeah, that was really later, funny.
He demolished them.
That one was different though, because that one it wasn't free for all. It was one man versus 10, and those one man has a big advantage if they can avoid getting shot in one man versus 10.
They can avoid being shot in one man.
No, I'm just saying
10.
From a scoring perspective, it's much harder for any one person to score on. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
It's fascinating to see anyone who is absolutely the best at what they do.
Yeah.
Even if it's something like StarCraft, it's fascinating to watch that. And it is interesting to watch it, as I'm sure Norm will concur. It is the difference between watching like us playing ping pong and like Olympic ping pong. It's completely and utterly a different game at that level. And it's fascinating to watch them and how good they are. And, you know, it's become a huge thing. Twitch TV, and they broadcast all these games now, these big, big money tournaments.
What would you call it if you didn't call it esports?
Well, I don't know. I just don't think you can call it a sport. To me, sport is something that requires some degree of athletic ability. Like, I wouldn't call it a sport any more than I would call chess or poker a sport. I don't know what you call it, but it ain't a sport.
Competition.
Yeah.
If they had to pedal
the e-games
to keep the generators running to run their land.
Oh my god, that's impossible.
Maybe that's something else.
Oh boy.
But yeah, APMs is not equal a sport.
Norm, you watch a lot of StarCraft.
Yeah, it's great.
You
actually pay money to watch events, right?
Yeah,
so you're like a legitimate, you're a real fan.
Yeah, it'd be $15 every season.
And you guys gather around the TV in Norm Manor and
some of them we used to, put up on YouTubes and there's tons of stuff you can watch. So I think a lot of the appeal is that you can play that game after. It's just like, you know, people like basketball, go out and play some basketball afterward.
Well, and
play some StarCraft.
The thing about StarCraft, especially more so than TF2, is and more Twitch games, is that I'm never going to be as fast as Thresh or Fatality or Jonathan Wendell or Fatality or any of those guys, right? But I can look at something at a combination of units or whatever in StarCraft
be as fast as those.
You're never going to be as fast as them, but you can take the strategic stuff and learn from that.
Well, like when I was watching stuff with Thresh.
Well, that's true. When I watched Thresh and learned that he was learned which route he follows, then that shows a specific thing. That's true.
No, do you find that by watching those guys that it informs or improves your own game?
Yes, absolutely. You learn a lot. And it has so much to do with the commentators. If you just watch the game, just like if you just watch a basketball game.
StarCraft, because it's going so fast, you need them to provide the context.
Well, it's the same thing with any sport.
It's the commentator
any competition. If you watch a baseball game without the audio or with just the game audio, it is boring as hell.
I think that...
Well, that's because baseball is very boring.
Even
it's slow.
If you watch it on TV, if you're not there, like... But if you watch, you know, like basketball, having the commentators helps play by play and the color commentary.
Mm. Sure.
Okay. That'll do it for questions this week. If you have questions for us or for Still Entitled, send them to podcasttester.com. And that'll do it for our show this week. Thank you guys again. It's so good to see you again, Gary.
I was away for too long, and I don't know how it's going to be going forward, but I'll always be here whenever I can.
You were on a couple things to plug, right? You were on Sword and Laser last week.
Yeah, so I did somehow manage to do Veronica asked me to do the Sword and Laser podcast, and I went on there and talked about After Earth and Walking Dead and Oliver and all kinds of my various different writing projects, and it was great. They have a very impressive set. It's really amazing.
Are you saying our set's not impressive?
It's
right
more
now.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. I think you would actually have to have a set in order for me to render judgment on it.
Hey, this is a C-stand. That's part of a set.
Okay, fair enough. But do you have an automatic airlock door that opens with like dry ice and shit? Because that's what they have.
Next week.
Yeah. Is there a dude behind the wall pulling the cord from the door?
Yes, just like on Star Trek.
Really?
There's a guy stands behind there and opens it.
Does it make a whooshing noise?
And he doesn't like it when they have to stand behind there too long because the dry ice, you start to get like your eyes watering.
Wow. That's
wow.
But they have a very impressive set.
They have a dragon.
And, you know, when you're there, it's like there's really no way of knowing if you're on a TV set.
Yeah.
I mean, it might as well, it could be a TV set. Internet and television. Like I said, when I go to IGN or CBS, GameSpot, Giant Bomb, it's like walking onto the set of like MSNBC now. It's not like it was when we were.
Aggressively lo-fi.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we do.
Yeah, you guys are keeping it real.
Were you were on the laser part of Sword and Laser then, I guess, huh?
Well, I mean, I guess it was a bit of a combination of both. But yeah, they have like, their set. If you go on Sword and Laser, go onto Sword and Laser's YouTube channel, you'll see the most recent episode that I was on. The set is kind of similar, like Android's Dungeon kind of vibe. It's like a medieval fantasy bar, but with sci-fi elements. So it's like a medieval bar, but they have an airlock door. And in the fiction of their show, they are in some kind of orbiting satellite around space. Some alien planet. Yeah.
And then
what's the fiction of our show? We're in.
It's entertaining.
Yeah, that seems right. And then you were on. Well, you've been flogging Walking Dead.
Yes,
lately.
Mercilessly.
Yeah.
And we did the panel, and that'll be on. Like, for people that couldn't come to the panel, they recorded it. They'll put a video up of that soon, and then my actual episode of Playing Dead, in which we'll actually talk about episode 4, which is coming up soon. That'll be up soon, shortly as well.
There's a good thing that Patrick's doing over on Bomb that's like a postmortem of the episodes too.
Yeah, he did the first two.
Yeah.
And I guess he'll get through, you know, he's going to do them all as
he's
they come out.
He's got to play 3 still because it just came out. But yeah. So episode 3 is out now if you haven't.
Episode 3 is out now. Episode 1 and 2 are out on iOS.
Oh, they are. 2 is out on iOS already.
Yeah. Episode 3 is not out if you're in Europe, because there's some weird thing going on with Sony where they're delaying. People in Europe have to wait longer.
Okay.
But 3 is out now, and 4 is actually coming along really more quickly than I expected.
When are they planning to get the whole thing done by like end of the year? Is that the goal?
I think they would love that, because what they ultimately want to do is get all 5 out.
Yeah.
And then the plan is to have like an actual box.
Oh, like an Xbox disc.
With special features and stuff that would hopefully, you know, they would want that out before the holidays.
So that's a perfect gift for somebody who wants to get something for this Christmas, is what you're saying.
It is the perfect gift. The gift that keeps on giving.
And that'll do it for us this week. For Norman Chan and Gary Webb, thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next Thursday with another episode. Stay tuned for Fake Outtakes. Today's theme is brought to you by KJN.
Hi there, I didn't see you.
That's it.
Joey's doing push-ups in the corner.
Yeah, I missed that episode.
He does that. He does push-ups in the corner.
I noticed that. He was doing that last time I was here. Is he still doing him every hour? Was that a fad? Is that still going on? Okay.
He's looking shamefully over here.
No.
We made Joey sad. See, this was your first trip to Hawaii.
Yeah, never been to Hawaii before.
I'm going to use the bathroom. Okay, Norm.
And I didn't get to be there for very long. I was only there for like 2.5 days.
That's a short trip to Hawaii.
Very short trip. But I did manage to... My commitments there, I managed to discharge all of those in one day, so that I then had my last day there was completely free. So I went down to the pool right away at like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
Got my sun lounger.
Were you at some place where you had to fight for the sun lounger?
Had an amazing Bananas Foster French toast for breakfast.
Did they light it on fire? Is Bananas Foster one of the ones that's lit on fire?
No.
That's
I think you're thinking of Baked Alaska.
Baked Alaska, yeah.
And so that was very enjoyable. And I had a beautiful hotel room overlooking Waikiki Beach.
Ooh.
And went down to the, mostly just stayed in the resort. I didn't really have time to go. I would like to have gone to Pearl Harbor and done all that stuff, but I would need more time to have done that. So basically just stayed in the resort, sat by the pool. A nice lady came by and brought me pina coladas.
Okay.
And the beach is right there.
Do you have a swim-up bar?
No, that's my. They had one of those in Cabo when I was there. They didn't have a swim bar.
I love the swim bar.
No, I know. I always feel like you have to have one of those. But the pool was lovely, and the ocean was even better. I love being. I've never really been in the ocean because it's so cold here.
Right.
But and it's pretty cold in the morning too. But like 2 or 3 in the afternoon when the sun's been on it for a bit, the ocean was just gorgeous. It was warmer than the pool.
Cool.
And really enjoyed just floating around, bobbing around in the ocean. Very relaxing.
No luau in the short.
No, there was a luau the first night I was there. That was quite nice.
Okay,
and I very enjoyed the Hawaiian. Just the whole vibe of it. It was very relaxing, just sitting around. Yeah, it's a very slow, you know, island kind of pace.
Yeah,
I had a big Kahuna burger, which I enjoyed.
Wait, what? Really?
Yeah, there was a big Kahuna burger.
That Hawaiian burger joint.
Yeah, that's one tasty burger.
Huh.
It was a very good burger.
Did it have pineapple on it or anything?
No. It didn't have any of that. It was just like Maui onion was like the biggest concession to Hawaiian
teriyaki sauce
stuff.
I like a little teriyaki on a burger.
I didn't
sometimes.
Get any spam either. I don't think I really kind of like had much Hawaiian culture.
I'm not a fan of the spam. I'm going to go ahead and say that.
Oh, I love spam.
You like spam wispy?
It's okay.
Wrapped with rice and
I understand.
Oh, it's delicious teriyaki sauce.
Yeah, they did have wasabi. a Hawaiian breakfast that had came with spam and rice and stuff. But I wanted the French toast more, so I had that.
I like a French toast.
But no, I basically just sat by the pool and bobbed in the ocean all day. And I put on so much sunscreen because I'm very English and white and burn very easily. We're not really meant to be out in the sun. People were kind of pointing and laughing at me because I had so much sunscreen and I basically looked like a snowman. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't burn.
But I'd rather look, well, a little bit I did, even with that much sunscreen. But I'd rather, you know, look ridiculous for like 6 hours than burn. Because I've been really, really, I don't know what the worst you've ever been sunburned is, but it's fucking miserable.
Yeah, you just kind of lay there in cold sweats all the time.
Oh, just horrible. I got burned on my shoulders when like third degree sunburn, like the skin was just peeling off me.
Ew. Gross.
Oh, I was just in agony.
The last time I went to Hawaii, a couple of Canadians told me I looked pale.
Yeah, that's not good.
So that wasn't a good time.
Yeah.
Why like Hawaii? I've never been to Oahu before. I've always gone to Maui.
I didn't even know where I was going because I didn't understand the geography of the islands at all.
Okay.
Like, I didn't know if it was going to be anywhere near Pearl Harbor. As it turned out, we were. Yeah. Pearl Harbor is right there. It's on
and you can see lava there too, right?
I'm not sure about that. There was a large mountain that I could view from my hotel room, but I couldn't tell you what it was. But Waikiki Beach is beautiful.
Oahu is where the Brady Bunch went. When they went to Hawaii.
Okay.
It's when they stole that, the rock.
Peter stole the rock, right?
And it has kind of, it definitely has like a Vegas resort kind of vibe to it. Like they have a cheesy band that plays live in the bar every night and like a Don Ho kind of dude in a, you know, in a white shirt and a lei that comes by and says, where are you guys from? And like does the whole kind of
Tommy Bahama.
The nightclub thing?
Very cheesy. But, you know, enjoy it. You go there, that's kind of what you expect.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never. So when you go to like Maui or Kauai, it's kind of like, well, there's the normal resort stuff, but then there's also kind of like the whole super laid back plantation-y places, and there's something to be said for both. Actually.
I mean, there's different kinds of vacation, I guess, and you can do the, you know, quad biking, adventure hiking, go up a mountain, go see this, go do that. I just, you know, but for me, it's just I just want to relax. I just want to sit on a beach and enjoy the sun. Which, you know, we so rarely get to do here, like where the weather is nice enough that you can really kind of like sit in the beach and sunbathe. So I can count the number of times I've done that in my life, probably on one hand. So it was nice to do that.
So, something weird happened to me the other day. So we liked Eminent Domain so much at PAX that I went and tracked down a copy while we were at PAX and bought it to bring it back.
You didn't get that Dominion expansion that was.
I got that too.
Oh, you got that as well.
Yeah, okay. I got both of them. Although I had Amazon ship that, which
that's smart,
just a miracle. I ordered that on like Monday night at 9 o'clock and it showed up on my doorstep on Tuesday morning before I came to work.
Wow.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I have a ton of Amazon credit now because I finally took my massive jar of pennies and
nickels. You went to the smart thing?
Went to the Coinstar, and if you get Amazon credit, they don't take any commission.
Yeah.
So they give it, just prints out
free
code.
Money.
And I buy so much from Amazon anyway. I mean, that's just the way to do it. So I, to type the code into your Amazon account, and now I've got like however much it was in that jar.
When I cleaned out my garage a few weeks ago, I found the last time I rolled coins. Apparently, I've been moving it, and I just dropped it into the bottom of a box someplace. And so Gina took it to the bank, and first they mocked her for having rolled coins that we rolled at home because nobody does that anymore, apparently.
Yeah, that's old school.
And second, it was $200.
Yeah,
wow. Worth
free
of
money.
Quarters and dimes.
Free money.
So, So I watched The Core while we were playing Eminent Domain.
Had you never seen that movie before?
I had seen that before. But I like it. Like, it is a movie that I am fond of because it is so spectacularly dumb.
Worthy of South Park parody.
I thought it was funny that you ended up slagging off the movie on Twitter directly to the writer of the movie without knowing that that's who you were talking to.
I knew it was who I was talking to immediately after I sent the tweet because I was like,
that's too late.
No, I'm aware. But it was one of those things that was like, this is what was weird. I said, man, every time The Core has an opportunity to say something smart, to go smart or dumb, it goes dumb and then even gets dumber on top of that. And then I have this conversation with the guy who wrote the movie at fair length.
Yeah.
And you at some point were like, hey, you realize
I had to send Will a direct message. Just so you know, that's the guy that wrote the movie because I know him and he's a nice guy. And I think he's fully aware of the fact that there is a lot of dumb science in there. But he was just trying to point, there is actually some interesting stuff in there as well.
But
you just basically shat all over him.
No, I didn't shit all over him. What he said was, I thought that people realized that our intention was to be dumb with the movie.
Right.
Which is why we called the material unobtainium and a bunch of other stuff. I was like, I get that. It's why I like the movie because it is spectacularly dumb.
Right.
Except they got Hilary Swank.
And except for they got.
But it actually has one of the better casts for an action, but it actually has like a really high-end cast.
But I don't, yeah.
Like
I don't
Hillary Swank and Stanley Tucci and Delroy Lindo, like all these great character actors. Aaron Eckhart is great.
The thing is, I don't think that they realized, I don't think that anybody told the actors that it was a super silly, campy movie.
Yeah.
Because they're all super serious performances.
Who would have been good for that then? Is it Orlando Jones?
Like, but I like the direction. I like the direction they went with it, though. Where they kind of classed it up with the cast that they had. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I think if the cast had been on the joke, it would have been much better.
And I like that it's a bunch of science guys that go do it, not you know like the roughneck dudes.
Yeah, but they're real bad science guys is the problem. Nobody buys them as science guys.
Oh, I enjoyed that movie.
I'm telling you, as a fan of the movie. It is a crazy, silly movie. So, but I just at the end of this conversation, I sent you a Twitter DM. I was like, man, the internet has made things weird.
It's weird. Yeah, you end up
like that was the thing that at the end of the day, I was like, oh, okay, this is something that never would have happened 10
years
ago.
It has, you know, we always talk about how like the internet has kind of created a global community, but it does put you. You're only ever 1 degree of separation from theoretically anyone.
Yeah.
You know, you can be talking about some movie and some guy that was in the movie will say, oh, yeah, I was in that.
Yeah. I thought I was doing this and you thought I was doing that.
Yeah.
You're an asshole.
I was watching Troll 2, which is well known as one of the worst movies of all time.
It's a really bad movie.
And there's a guy in that movie who is like famous for being really bad in it. And he like gets turned into a potted plant at one point in the film. And I made some comment about it. And the guy who I guess must have like some kind of search field set up for it. Wrote me back and said, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. He's just talking about, now I'm talking to the guy. I had a thing, I was watching CSI Miami because I'm a big fan of CSI Miami. And I tweeted something about it. And Andy Zeica, who created CSI, who apparently follows me on Twitter, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Sent me a message going, oh, yeah, that episode, something interesting about it. And I ended up watching the rest of the episode while like chatting to him about it.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of the wackiness that Twitter has created.
It's really, really bizarre. Yeah. And watching that Twitter feed and seeing multiple things happening, like two or three separate conversations between the different groups of people that you follow,
yeah,
is my favorite part about the whole thing. I hope Twitter doesn't fuck it up.
Yeah.
Anything else we want to talk about? It seems like we talked about a bunch of really dumb stuff when we were at PAX. I don't remember any of it now.
I don't remember. We didn't have much time to talk at PAX because we were there so briefly. We had lunch. Of course, we went back to the Daily Grill as always.
Oh, yeah. The Daily Grill. Did you get the burger?
I didn't. So what did I get? We didn't eat that much. I think I just had we got some apps.
We had hummus. We had
Well, you got the meatloaf because it's always popular.
Meatloaf is pretty good.
I can't remember what I got. Mm. Oh, I got this. I had a steak. I had a nice pepper steak.
I had a French dip, which I wouldn't recommend actually.
I like the food of the Daily
Peppercorn
Grill.
Peppercorn burger was excellent.
Yeah. Peppercorn burger was pretty good.
I want to go back to Lark Creek though and get that cowboy burger. That's my favorite.
I haven't had that yet.
Boy, we went to Local 360 on Saturday night for dinner after the show.
I don't know where that is.
It's kind of off in the hipstery side of town, down with the good pizza place and all that stuff. It's a Portland kind of restaurant, you know, like modern American, and it was fabulous.
I kind of feel old now when I go to PAX and like have a nice dinner with some friends and you're in bed by 10 o'clock and that's nice enough. But then like, you know, I'm just about to go off to bed and like Brad Shoemaker is tweeting pictures like some Minecraft party. It looks like fucking Burning Man. It's like, this is awesome. And I'm like, man, I'm too old. I can't be at that thing.
That Minecraft party was bananas. By
all reports. It looked ridiculous.
We were playing Carcassonne back at the Board Game Free Play. That's what I do late night.
Yeah, I mean, last PAX, we stayed up until like 2 o'clock in the morning playing Super Mario Kart.
Free to play. Free play room. That was fun.
And the year before that, we did PC free play and enjoyed that.
We had the crazy party.
We were playing like Day
of Defeat. We had our crazy party nights.
Did we?
What crazy
party? Oh, the vampire thing. Yeah.
Oh, God, the blood vampires?
Yeah, but I don't really enjoy myself at parties anymore. Like, I say I want to be at these things, but in reality, I just want to be at home in bed.
Yeah, or playing a game or something.
Yeah.
They had an arcade free play this year. So Ground Control and the local Seattle arcade collectors had brought a bunch of old arcade machines, and they had Donkey Kong 2, Donkey Kong Jr., of course, Galaga, Ms. Pac-Man, and all that stuff. But then they also had some weird stuff. It was pretty good. They had an Adams Family table, pinball table that was working.
I love
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. We're going to go to New York for New York Comic Con.
I'm really jealous about that. I know you can't talk about what that's for yet.
I think I probably can soon. I think they're going to announce why it is that I'm there very soon.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I think they should be announcing it because New York Comic Con's only a month away, so they're going to have to announce it soon.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward. I love any excuse to go to New York. I love New York City.
We're going to
go try and go for a few days and enjoy it a little bit.
When is it? Do you remember? It's October.
11th to the 4th. My thing is on the 13th, I believe.
Of October. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So we can get in a little bit early and have a day or two in New York and
overlap.
And then go to it, yeah.
We're going to be there at the end of the month for New York Maker Fair. So if there's stuff you want us to check out while we're in New York, send us emails. It's tips@testa.com. And I guess that'll do it for us this week.
Yeah, we kind of kept it, you know, fairly straightforward on the outtakes this week. Not
it's
like
just
crazy
like a regular
outtakes.
Episode.
It's woven in.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of outtakes in baked right into the cake that we didn't need to put.
So
a lot
now
of
we're talking
on
about
top,
the outtakes in the outtakes. Are we going to rate the outtakes? What would you give this outtakes on a scale?
I'd only give it like a 6, but I'd give the podcast itself a 7.
Okay, that's a harsh.
I'm a harsh judge.
Norm,
incomplete.
What you want to see what happens in post? I don't do post
it's
on this.
Incomplete.
Okay. I agree with Gary. I think it's 7.5.
I'll give it a
7. I don't believe in half points, but I think we're riding the line between a 7 and an 8 today.
Yeah, we're somewhere in there. It's not bad.
Okay, see you guys next week.